Hello.
Hey, let's hope your internet works.
I have a feeling it will work
Did
perfectly.
you chain him outside or what? Did you do something?
Look, I cannot.
Not confirm or deny anything.
The kids like be laying in bed.
they like to sleep late on Sundays.
They like to sleep very late on Sundays until daddy's done podcasting, and then they'll be let out of their shackles.
Well, then hopefully things will work. We'll see.
Will see. I need to turn up my volume.
He can
Testing.
barely hear me. Mic
There
check, mic check.
we go.
Test one, test two, test
Coming to
three.
you live.
Scooby dooby doo, scabba dabba da.
Hello, ladies.
Yes. So how have
Welcome.
you been? You had a short work week.
I did have a short
It
week's
was
work.
rough though, wasn't it?
It actually wasn't too bad because we had some work to do with the lab. We got some new devices that we needed to put on the wall and stuff. So I got to spend some time doing just physical manual labor, which was nice.
Oh, that's a good. I always like when that happens.
It's a nice change of
Change of
pace.
pace, yeah. Mine was hectic, even though I was only there 3 days.
3 days. Yes, for those who don't know, we have just come back from our whirlwind tour of Charlotte,
Yes.
North Carolina,
We
where the
drove in a
heroes
bus in the
come
rock
back.
van.
We should do that one year. Just drive
Yeah.
them, pick up everyone around the country.
With a bunch of groupies. We had all our groupies in the van.
I
In our
thought
tour
we weren't going
bus.
to talk about that.
Oh, oops.
For our Heroes Con exclusive.
Yeah. It was a good time. I had a great time. I didn't have a good time coming back.
Yes, you ran into some travel difficulties.
Yeah. We made the right choice though, I think. We had to decide whether to spend the night in Houston or to just stay in Charlotte an extra day, and we stayed just in Charlotte. The only risk we had was if something happened, that we would miss our flight, our
Oh,
layover
connecting
flight,
flight.
connecting flight, yeah. Because there was only 50 minutes in between, so we
Yeah,
could have
that's
missed
tight.
it. Yeah.
But a lot of times, I think they know like who's on board and who has connections.
Oh, and they know like Geek Brunch has got to get home or
Yeah,
what?
they know the Geek Brunch is on board. No, but it seems like whenever you're on a plane, like even if you leave late, they'll still be like, "Yeah, we'll still get to we're gonna get in early." So I think they can like go faster if they want to go faster.
Yeah. This is the first time I've ever missed had to stay overnight though. I've never had to
Oh,
I
for a
missed a
plane
connecting
delay.
f yeah. We had no other options because the day before, like, I guess Houston was closed the majority of the day, so it was like trying to recoup. It was all the other people that missed their flights.
Right, they had a bunch of people in Houston that they had to
Yeah.
spend the night or were at the airport that they had to
Yeah.
get out of there. Yeah, I think you made the right decision, though. I'd much rather stay where I am than fly to some other city and then worry about trying to take a shuttle to a hotel and all that mess.
Yeah, we went to a hot dog place that I forget what it was called, like something hots, like I can't remember what it was. But
Hot hots and suds.
it was they had vegetarian hot dogs, so we looked for
Really?
you on the menu.
Oh, we'll have to go there next year.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked it. Plus they had ch cheery wine, cheer wine on tap. And
Oh
it
my
was deli it was on
goodness.
tap,
You
so you could
finally
just go
found it.
refill. I think I drank a keg.
This keg's empty. I need a new one.
Yeah, fill it up. Fill it
Refill this.
up. That shit is
Wow.
good, man. I dig the cheer wine.
I know you do. So where was this place?
It's so close to that Dr. Pepper, I think. Like, it's not quite that Dr. It's like if
It's a
Mr.
cherry
Pibb.
Dr. Pepper.
No, it's like if Mr. Pibb came out with a dark berry. That would
Okay.
be cheer wine.
thing. Yeah, you're right, because it's a little sweeter. With Dr. Pepper. Wow.
I like the Mr. Pibb too, so I don't know what that says, but
I like all of the knockoff Dr. Peppers.
well, it's interesting because I prefer the Pepsi to the Coke,
For sure.
like
Well, it's because
lots.
it's far
Well,
superior.
it's what it is sweeter, so it goes has a lot to say. I prefer the Mr. Pibb to the Dr. Pepper, which is a sweeter, in my opinion, just slightly sweeter than Dr. Pepper. Like you notice the difference when you have a glass of Mr. Pibb versus Dr. Pepper. And now I'm addicted to Cheerwine, except I gotta lose some fucking weight before I could go buy a case of Cheerwine at the
Before you're
soda
allowed to buy
shop.
your wine.
Because there is a soda place here that carries it.
Okay. Soda Depot.
Yeah. It's like one of it's it specializes in sodas from around the world, so I could go get some Cheerwine.
So what's your opinion on RC Cola?
I am a fan.
Yeah, me too.
But I am a huge fan of RC Cola, but it has to be RC Cola. There is a knockoff, like a diet one called like Diet Right, and it's like supposed to be close to RC, but it's not that good.
Well, if it's diet, it can't be the
Yeah.
same. Now,
I don't
RC, I find, is even the sweetest of all
RC,
the
yeah,
cola
RC is
products.
delicious. So that like my Barb, she won't drink a Pepsi. Like she'll sip a Pepsi like if there's nothing else around, but she'll only take a sip. She hates Pepsi. She just is a total Coke drinker. So it's a little on the household because I can drink Coke, we tend to get Coke.
Yeah,
But
Coke.
yeah.
I drink Coke as a last resort.
Well,
That'd be good. If we only had Coke, I wouldn't drink a lot of it.
yeah.
I just don't.
I tend to drink less of it, that's for sure. 'Cause I don't like it as much.
Yeah, I think when I start drinking it, I might be able to get used to it, but it has that weird flavor that I don't like.
It's a little harsher. I don't know how to describe it other than that. More carbonated, harsh. I think it appeals to those people that like to drink a lot. Alcohol. Because it's harsher.
It's for maybe the alcoholic. That's a good observation.
Alcoholics will tend to go to the Coke
If you that's
instead
true. If
of
you ever see
Pepsi.
anyone drinking a Coca-Cola,
You're an
probably an
alcoholic.
alcoholic.
Science.
Is proven scientifically.
So what did you think of this year's Heroes? Was it pretty good for you?
I thought it was fantastic, Heroes.
Yeah. I thought so too. It's so different from the other Heroes 'cause I think I bought more indie aisle stuff than I ever did. Usually I'm
Comic
buying
books.
back issues or art or something like that. And I get like one or two. And to be all fairness, like I started to go away from it because I wasn't reading it. In other words, I would come home and I'd have like 25 books. And then I wouldn't read it. Like I just would never read it
You're
because
talking
I
about
had.
the back issues?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the Artist Alley
Oh,
books.
the Artist Alley books, sure.
Yeah, I'd get all these indie books. I'd never read it because then I'd get home and I'd have a box full of DCBS and I'd like, I'm
Right.
not gonna get to that. But this time I think because I had the extra day, I plowed through a lot of what I bought already. Except for like there was a couple of stuff that I got like from Blue Wave and that's more meaty and
Yeah,
more of a
the
trade. I haven't
trades,
gotten through those yet.
yeah.
But I got through a lot of it.
It's good.
It's weird because a lot of the things I navigated to were like in my mode. Like I'm into that North Star and Razor and like 90s violent
Yeah.
books and shit like
Well,
that. And a lot of them fell into that realm. Like
certainly one of the creators we got a lot of books from is in that
yeah, I read
vein.
I read everything from Delaney. Is that's who it is, right?
Yeah,
Delaney.
Alex Delaney.
Yeah, I read
Yeah, I read all
everything.
those too.
everything that I bought from him, and I liked everything that he did. I wasn't crazy about the anthology. I don't know if you bought that one, but
I did not get the
he
anthology.
only had like an 8-page story in the anthology. Maybe it was less. Maybe it was only
Oh, that
six
was the. I
pages.
didn't get that one because I already have that.
Oh,
I got that from previews back in
that
the
one
day.
really was like reading an issue of Splatter. It really was. Like that's what it was.
That was Ink Bath, right?
Insect bath.
Insect Bath. What did I say? Ink Bath.
I don't
Trademark.
know.
Geek Brunch. Copyright.
Better make sure I'm
2019.
recording. I usually check it immediately. Yeah, I'm recording.
Check it.
But let me see what I have here. Insect bath. I don't know if you read that one a long time ago or if you just it's still in your to read
It's
pile.
still in my to read pile. For 8 years, it's been in my to
We
read
were talking
pile.
to one creator. Well, one creator I knew. I don't know his last. Well, I guess I do know his last name, but I don't remember it. His name is Dave. He created a book called Valk,
Oh,
which
Dave
was like
Jordan, I think.
Jordan. Yeah, I talk to him every year. But
Yes.
when I first met him, I met him in Albuquerque, and that's kind of where I'm from, at one of the Albuquerque conventions, and that's where he lives. So he comes a long way to North Carolina to display his stuff.
It comes to the Chicago shows too, like C2. I think it
Yeah.
was at C2E2 maybe.
I didn't buy I only bought Valk from him last year, and this year I bought that one that was I don't know, it's like a mini comic.
Yeah, I wish you were here or something like
Yeah,
that.
I bought that one. I haven't read that one yet. It'll probably take me no time to read it all. I can if I get
Yeah,
through
those
them.
are a pretty quick read. Those are good. Those are the slice of life.
But the one creator that I sort of resonated with me is the Delaney guy, Alex Delaney. And I think it's just because of the mood that I'm in.
For sure, for sure.
And the thing that really kicked me off, like, okay, let's tell the story about this Alex Delaney. I wasn't with Bill when Bill was buying books from Alex Delaney. So Bill sort of discovered Alex Delaney and then brought home The Derelict and The
Right,
Other Side.
so he had two comics, Dare two com he has two main comics, Derelict and The Other Side. And what he did was, I think he brought them out in single issues originally, like probably a low print run, but then he did like a combination of the first two issues of Derelict in one comic, and then the first two issues of The Other Side in another comic, and then he did like a flip comic with the third issues of both of them. So it
Yeah,
kind of
I.
forces you
Well,
to
you get.
buy
Well,
those
the
three.
flip comic is a good strategy. I like that. I
I know
like it
because,
because if you like one, you want to get the other.
yeah.
It is a weird strategy. I hate it from an archiving perspective because you're like, where do I archive it with? Do I
I
buy
know
two
you
copies?
have to buy two.
Yeah, so it's like it's one of those 90s things. But it was interesting because you. My engineering brain kicked off, and I said, "You know what, Bill? This looks like Tim Vigil's art, and I really wanted to read it." And I skimmed through it. Bill brought it home that night. It was Saturday night, and the one thing I was gonna read for sure was the Z Girl because I was gonna decide to go back and
Right,
buy
you
it
got
if I
the
liked
issue
it.
number one of Z Girl.
Yeah, and I was gonna go buy the rest of what he had if I liked it. So I read that, and then I saw that Bill had that, and I was like, "This stuff looks great. I should buy it." And Barb's logic goes on and says, "Why don't you just read Bill's?"
Yeah, she's like,
And I'm
it's right
like,
there. Just read
"Yeah, it's right
it.
there, just there." I said, "That's a good idea, because then I won't have to buy it. I could
Right.
just read Bill's." But the problem is I read Bill's and I was like, "Why wouldn't I want this in my collection? I like this.
I need to own
I
this.
need to own this." And then the logic clicked down talking to Barb again. Nah, you know, I read it. What's the chances of me reading it again? Like she's right? But then I was there talking to him, and we were talking about Street Trash, and he's like the only other guy on the planet that's watched Street Trash besides me. And I was like, I get the vibe of Street Trash when I read The Derelict. And he's like, well, that's awesome. And he even had a sticker from Street Trash
Yeah,
and he
he
needed
flips over his
it.
portfolio and there's a
Yeah.
sticker.
And then I also told him, I said, man, your art reminds me of Tim Vigil. And he goes, look, I got a derelict sketch of Tim by Tim Vigil. And I'm like, wow. So I'm like, okay, I'm feeling this guy. I got to buy all his stuff. I bought everything that he had. And I enjoyed it. Like I'll remember it. And I like want the next derelict because it ends on a fucking
Well,
cliffhanger.
both of them, I was like, God
Oh
damn.
yeah. Both of them end on a cliffhanger, and it's like, I know he was saying, yeah, the next issue he's doing is with some other person,
Yeah, he's
which
working on
sucks.
another series first before he gets back to Derelict.
Because he does seem to do them far apart. I was looking at the years in which he was doing stuff.
Yeah, it takes him a couple years.
Yeah, but he does all his stuff.
There was only one. It looked like the first thing he did with his brother, like his that was Swan Song, and it looks like his brother wrote it and he did the art in it.
Yeah, oh, okay. I did read that.
Which actually I thought that was the I didn't really care for that one.
I liked it, but it didn't like I appreciate what it is. It's for me, Swan Song was like the
That's the
post-apocalyptic
post-apocalyptic one, yeah.
cannibalism type thing. And I liked that one the least. I agree with you. I liked it the least.
Yeah, the writing in that didn't really like the writing in the Derelict works for me. The writing in this wasn't as good. I didn't or for me.
The Derelict was awesome because, I mean, let's talk about the Derelict a little bit.
All right. The Derelict is about a junkie.
But he's not, it is about a junkie, but he's an ex-cop.
He is. He's a
And
junkie.
he's in
An
a city
ex-cop.
that is totally corrupt. Like, you have Gotham and Hub City. Well, this city is like awful. This is like Street Trash. This is like the movie Street Trash. You should check out Street Trash. There's no redeemable characters. There's nobody that's there for anybody's good intention. The whole police force is corrupt.
Well, I think I disagree.
Well, there's one guy, but he captures them and puts them
Yeah,
into trash.
his
I mean,
methodology isn't
his
good.
methodology is
Yeah, he's the one cop. Yeah, like he kidnaps the derelict and tries to get him clean by like handcuffing him to a bed
yeah.
against his will. So yeah, I guess
I mean, there was some sick shit in there, and who knows what he.
That's the closest there is to a good character in this.
The other thing is, why did you eat all the goddamn Milky Ways without nougat? Why did you eat all of them all?
I did not eat all of
Yes, you did. You didn't leave any for me and Barb. We bought you a fucking bag of nougat, and you left us with all the nougat and ate the caramel Milky Ways.
That is a lie.
No,
I
it's
had
true.
two. I had two Simply Caramels.
You
I had
lied to me. I was hungry. I was like starving that
and then
day.
Mike ate
And
all.
Bill pulls out a, what do you call it? A peanut butter granola bar. And I'm like, oh, I don't like granola bars. And I'm like, do you have anything else to eat?
Oh, that's not what
And
you said.
I did. I said, do you have
You
any
said,
other
do you have any
candy
nougat?
bars in there?
You
And he
said, do you have
goes,
any nougat
no.
in
And then we
there?
walk about 10 feet and he's got a Milky Way caramel bar in his mouth.
True. But you said, do you have any
It is
nougat?
true.
And I said, no, I don't have any nougat.
God.
And then I had my delicious caramel bar.
Yeah.
Which isn't as good as the nougat, so you should be happy.
No, it's better.
And then Mike just kept eating the nougat bars. Nougat after nougat.
And gained about 8 pounds in the
8 pounds
process.
of nougat.
It's a bad idea. Having some nougat right now because we still have some leftover nougat.
Know you took all the nougat.
Yeah,
Left me with all the caramel.
Maybe that's why I like the Derelict so much. I was so high on Nougat.
You could relate.
My favorite character, though, in the Derelict is not the Derelict, it's the cop. Because this the evil cop is over the top. He's his ex-partner, and he's just brutal to everybody. He's brutal to the chief, he's brutal to this guy that rescues him. He's just damn violent. So goddamn violent
Seemed
and
like
over
when he
the
kicked that
top.
guy's leg and like broke it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He is like my favorite character. I would love to see somebody play him on the big screen because he's so over the top. He's so bad. Oh man. This book is so vile and violent and crazy that I even like the stickers he put together. Like he had a derelict sticker and he had two derelict stickers. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I love the way he packaged it. And Barb told me you read Bills, don't buy it, and I had to buy it anyway. Right, Barb? It depressed you, right? Yeah. It depresses you to see that I get so much enjoyment out of that derelict comic, doesn't it? Who did you marry? So these guys were partners, and this guy was believed to be dead, and he finds out he's alive and wants to kill him. He's involved in he basically killed him in the past, it sounds like, and needs to kill him again. This particular cop. And this one guy tried to rescue. Did they kill the guy that rescued him, or did he just threaten his life? I know he busted his leg up and beat his face up really bad.
I think they just left him there.
He left him in his own house, right? Just
Yeah, I think so.
bleeding on the floor. So who knows what that guy will do? But we probably won't find out until we're at least 52 or 53 at Heroes Con in a couple of years.
Yes, hopefully before retirement will.
We'll find the end. Anything else to mention on the Derelict?
I think we described the art. So I really like the art a lot. I think it captures the excitement and energy of the old 90s comics, the old 90s black and whites. This is very, very vulgar, and the language is very fitting for the characters.
And the derelict is really, really a character that's involved in this storyline, but only wants drugs. Like that's his.
Yeah, he shoots up a lot
He
in
shoots up
this.
a lot, and that's what he is out for, is to get more drugs.
In fact, there's also a Derelict one shot,
Yes.
which I
That one
like
I
'cause it
like.
has gold embossed logo on the cover. That's
And it's a
fantastic.
smaller size. It's interesting.
Yeah, it
It's
is a little
not.
smaller. And that issue is basically about the derelict discovering huffing paint. And he huffs paint and he has
Visions of a paint guy.
visions of
Like
the
that's
old
on.
prospector.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Then these two wannabe gangsters are looking for a homeless person to beat up, and they find the derelict,
And
and
that's
he's all
not to
high
the.
he's all high on paint huffing. And it doesn't end up well for them.
He kills them both.
Yep.
Bless you.
There it
There you go,
is.
Daryl. Yeah, there was that one shot, and then there's the other side, which is about a bunch of prostitutes.
Man, the other side is intense.
It is.
I was
It
like,
has
"Holy
a
shit."
it has a banjo scene in it too.
Oh,
It's
the
good like a pig. But it is weird 'cause he tied these two
Mike, I
comics.
dropped my glasses and I can't find them.
Oh no.
I can't see.
Just
Well,
put your comics far away.
I can read my comics. That's why I had my glasses off. But now I can't see anything else.
Oh, because these are not your reading glasses. These
No,
are
they're
you.
my actual glasses.
Oh, there were no babes around, so you could leave your glasses. Hot
Right.
babes. There's
There's
not
not
any
too much
hot.
press.
Hot...
Nothing on press.
Nerdy Legion wasn't around to tell you how hot you were, so you could wear your glasses
Put
on
glasses
Sunday.
on. Where the hell are they? I feel like this is like the end of the world.
What you were read
And I
you were
lost my
read
glasses.
well, where were they when you last saw them?
I dropped them.
Now you can't see him. You're get
I can't see to pick find them.
Crunch. Just be
I know.
careful where you step.
So if it's the end of the world and I lose my glasses, at least I'll still be able to read comics.
That's true. At least until the zombie comes and bites your head off.
That's right. I won't see the zombie coming, but I'll be reading a comic when he comes. Oh, they're there. Whew. All right, crisis averted. I can see. Fuck you, zombies.
So the derelict is derelict. He has derelict issue one, and then he has derelict issue. Is it issue one and two? Sorry, it's
Yeah,
issue
one
one
and
and two.
two. Yeah, one
So
and two issue.
he's issues one and two, but he charges like $6, but it's pretty good value because it's two whole issues.
It's thick.
So you get that,
I
and
like the
then
printing. It's really nice printing. Like the
yeah.
covers are thick, and then the
The
interiors are.
papers are thick too. The
Yeah,
paper.
it's like a thick newsprint.
And it's stapled slightly like, I don't know, it's not flat. I don't know how to
Yeah,
say
well,
it.
it just poofs up because of
Poofs
the
up because of the
page.
thick paper.
Yeah, thick pages.
So you have issues one and two, you have the derelict one shot, and then issue three is continued in the other side, number one? Or was it in number two?
It's in the. What are you talking about? The derelict?
No, I'm talking about the other side. Was the other side number one in its own
Yeah, one
comp?
and two. It was the same as the derelict.
Oh.
One and two are in the
And then issue
split,
three
and
is
then
in
three is in the split.
the split edition.
Yeah.
So there are three issues of that, even though it's really like two. But this is about a bunch of prostitutes, and there's a serial killer out to get prostitutes. And he searches out women that are prostitutes and then does artwork with them. Instead of having sex with them, maybe he has sex with the art. I don't know. He does get naked.
He does.
He does get naked. He is really violent, too. Like, once he gets them to their place, he essentially drugs them. To the point where they don't even know what's going on, and then sort of like peels their skin off or cuts them in a certain place. He essentially tortures them until they're
He's
eventually
really
dead,
sick.
and then leaves the body. And then the police find the body, and the connection to the derelict is the police force. So one of the police officers in the same police force that we met in the derelict is undercover. And she's really undercover taking the job literally, 'cause she's having sex with her customers, she's doing drugs, she's a cop that's in this deep into this world and really
Just deep
undercover.
undercover, yeah.
And she has a kid too, right? I think she did. She
Yeah, I
mentions
think,
her
yeah,
child.
she does. Because she's talking about, after she'd be undercover for a while, she was talking about how it's hard for her to go back to her regular life now. She
Yeah.
hasn't really interacted with her kid very much since going undercover because she's lost the connection, kind of, to that world.
Nugget.
And I'm looking in the derelict, what is this? Number two, the very beginning of the derelict number two, and you can see, there is a cameo appearance of the other side women or the other side of town women. He mentioned it when we were talking to him, but I didn't notice it, but now I see them. There they are on the street. saying, "Hey, babe."
What issue was that of the Derelict?
Number two. It's like on the, let's see, third page of number two.
The Derelict number two. I did not notice it.
It's very quick. You wouldn't notice it unless you read the other side first.
Oh, where it says, "Hey, baby, you want to get a taste?"
Yeah, because that's that one girl, and then the one with the weird ponytail is next door. The main girl.
Man, this comic is so good. I got to read it again just for spite.
I could see reading these again.
Yeah.
In the future. At least Derelict. Outside of Town was pretty brutal.
It is brutal, but God, I want to find out what happens because...
I know.
They kill the two women, and then the two prostitutes, the cop is with another woman. It's funny, though, because the serial killer does not want that one hooker for some reason.
Yeah.
The one with the big bubble ass, he does not want her for some reason. I gotta make the art or something. I don't know if he has certain visions of art. But there are these two pimps, and they're really violent pimps. Even to, like, when they're questioning one guy, one of the guys fucks him to death, essentially, and then they kill him. But they work for a woman that controls this prostitution ring, and at the end of the story, they essentially go to rescue the prostitutes because I think one of them hits the buzzer. They give her like a pager or like a buzzer that she can click. It says, if you're in danger, if it's this guy, you click it. And she has trouble clicking it because they're so drugged up. Like, they're doing cocaine lines. And he's, like, spiking drugs.
Yeah, they gave him some kind of psychedelic. So she's, like, she can't even, like, focus on anything.
Yeah.
It's hallucinating.
But that's how it ends, right? They barge in there, and you don't know what happens.
Yep.
And on the Derelict, the cliffhanger is you got that crazy cop and him in a car, and they basically slam into something, and then one of the guys goes out the window, and you don't know what happens. So
he
they're
definitely
like,
ended on two cliffhangers.
It's like hardcore cliffhangers that you want to, like, know, like, what happens. That's a good way to end a comic book, though.
Well, certainly when I in the future when I see either of these comics number fours, I will immediately purchase them and read them.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a flip book and have them both. But I doubt it. He'll probably
I think that the flip book was a Kickstarter.
Does it say on the back of it?
No, I think he mentioned it.
Why did he do this Derelict one shot though? Like, why not? Like, what year this came out?
Why not finish the damn story?
Yeah, I should have asked him because this one with the painting, it doesn't take like the story anywhere. But
no, it's just
it's definitely a one shot.
That is a good question. I'm guessing it's the newest. Yeah, 2018.
It is 2019.
Yeah, we should have said that. Why'd you waste your time on this?
When you the story? I want to know the goddamn story. I want to know how it ends. Yeah, it was amazing. This vile world he created.
Yes, these are highly recommended, but with a caveat of they're highly disturbing.
I think you have to have a flavor for shock horror too. Like you have to have read Splatter in the 90s or Faust or, you know, something of the Rebel Studios or North Star and said, I can tolerate it. Because if you can't tolerate it, these books are not for you.
Yeah, the stuff that the serial killer does is really horrific.
Yeah. And even in the Derelict, the drug use and the violence, especially the cop,
mm-hmm.
He beats the fuck out of people, man.
I like the opening scene in the derelict is, think he's, or is he, be, he wants to get high, but he doesn't have any money, so I think he's begging for money, and some old lady gives him some money, and then he punches her in the face and steals her purse.
I know, that's how vile it is. And then the thing is he gets accused of rape because there's another homeless guy that's there,
Yeah, they
and
kill the old
he
lady.
rapes the old lady after he took her purse, and that he gets arrested because he's the
Right, for the
con,
murder, for the
yeah,
killing
for the
him.
murder. And then that crooked cop gets him out of the prison cell, essentially, because he knows who he is. He knows he's his ex-partner.
Right.
I was trying to thumb through this and see if any of it was a Kickstarter, but I don't see any evidence of. I do see he
Oh,
has
the
another book out though that wasn't at the called Wrapped in Fear. What is that?
I think that's like a, yeah, he didn't have that. I think that's like an anthology.
Yeah, I gotta follow him on Twitter and just tell him, hey man, we really dug your stuff. I want to know when your next Derelict and Other Side continuation can follow up is. Or like I just want to follow him about just to see what else he's doing. Like if he tweets he's got another book out, I'll seek it out.
Yeah, he did have a Kickstarter for the flip book. Well, let me see when this was. 2017.
Kickstarter. Can you actually click on the creator and was it under the Derelict?
Yeah, Derelict.
Just when I try to get away from Kickstarters.
Well, it's 2 years ago. Oh, you mean the next one?
Yeah, if he comes up with another
It wasn't
one.
bad though, because it was just he just charged $6 for it.
Yeah.
Well, he just charged cover price.
What did you search for? Derelict volume. No, that's Derelict Inc.
I just searched for his name.
Oh.
Yeah, it's gonna look, yeah. That's the only one he had. So if you want to excuse me.
It is weird how the Derelict and the Other Side, yeah, I see it now. How he didn't like kickstart anything else though. I'm finding this fascinating just for our own selfish reasons. You know how we want to get our comics out? We talked to several creators, some that have kickstarted, some that started off kickstarting and then didn't want to anymore, some of them that kickstarted and went to the indie whatever a go-go.
Yeah, Indiegogo.
So I don't understand like why you wouldn't come back if you didn't like it. Do you know what I mean? Like if your experience wasn't well.
Why you come back to what?
Why you wouldn't like if you started with Kickstarter and you're happy there, why you wouldn't do it
Oh,
again?
why
Like
you would move to, I don't know. I think the one person we were talking to, I think he said he just wanted to try it. I don't
why
know,
did
it
Alex
charges it.
Delaney do this flip book and then not do his one shot as a Kickstarter to try to make money on it.
That I don't know.
Does this tell you if it's successfully funded? It only had 21
Yeah, it was.
backers. He must have been asking for nothing.
Yeah, I think it was I asked him 600. He's probably just asking for the he, I mean, he draws it, writes it and draws it himself, so he just needed money for printing.
That's
It's the
true.
benefit of being an artist.
That would be nice. You draw it on your own time. You could do your own. If we could do our own comics, I'm sure we'd have some of them out already.
So, I was going to say, if you're interested in the Derelict, Alex Delaney does have an Etsy site where you can buy the comics.
Is it in the back of his book?
No. Well,
Oh
yeah,
yeah, it is.
probably.
I'm gonna go to it right now. Just to see if he's got any others.
He does have the Wrapped in Fear.
Shop slash wrapped
So let's look at Wrapped in Fear. Wrapped in Fear,
studios.
written by Alex Delaney, illustrated by Delaney and Scott Roller. Well, I'm gonna have to get to use this. Is a horror anthology. What does it say? In the vein of creepy, eerie tales from the crypt, etc. But you can get that he does have the derelict at the other side of town, etc., etc.
So it gets a thumbs up for me, both of them. You like the derelict more. I liked them
No,
both pretty
I like them
equally.
both,
And
but I
I
like them
like the
both
way they
equally as
ended
well.
because I'm like I want to know what happens to these god-awful people. Cuz I don't really think there's a hero in any of this.
No, I guess there's really not, because you could say that the woman going, the cop who's undercover, has good intentions, but she's just doing drugs. She's gone very far undercover,
Yeah.
but she is doing it just to catch the serial killer, so.
But she's doing it like she's giving blowjobs. She's really doing all the prostitution
Oh,
stuff.
sure.
She doesn't care. They have the one like montage where she's like it shows all the weird shit she's doing. And she is deep into the drug stuff.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. So yeah, this was the highlight for me of like what I got at an indie island. This also one of the cool things I forgot to mention is Andrew Peepoy, which I did the right thing because I never saw him at his table until like Sunday afternoon, but I caught him when he was setting up his booth on Friday, and it was pretty late. It was like I don't know around noon, and I got him to give me a piece because on the way, on the flight over here, I got to watch The Highwaymen, and I like became obsessed with Bonnie and Clyde. And I got a Archie and Betty, Bonnie and Clyde,
Commission.
commission from him. Yeah, it was awesome.
Maybe it turned out really nice.
And he gave me something. He gave me a Mary Marvel fanzine, which was it has like some of the original Mary Marvel comics in it. So that was awesome. And the other thing that I liked a lot, but I don't think you dug as much as I did, was the Z Girl and the Four Tigers. I liked that one.
Yeah, why don't you talk about that one?
This is Kirk Manley, and he does the art. He doesn't do the writing, but he did draw something, a one shot called Little Red, which was a Little Red writing. It was a take on. It was like a Zenoscope. Grim Fairy Tales type story
Right.
where the wolf really isn't bad, but he's let out to be, and the wolf is kind of like there to help her take out a demon, even though she thinks she's hunting down the wolf. The wolf isn't the one that's really the bad guy in the story. And he wrote and drew that one. And then Kirk actually told me about this guy, and he says, "Why don't you just try an issue of it?" And I tried issue one. Me and Bill bought issue one, and it sort of goes back into the past and gives like what the story is like in China about 6th century BC about like what these tigers are. It doesn't really give any Z Girl story, and then you flash forward into like the current action scene where she has to take down a god, the goddess Shiva, which is being brought back out by a monkey, like a monkey on all, you know, on that walks on two legs, that's like a priest, like some kind of like monkey priest that brings Shiva back into this world, and zombie Z Girl has to take her out. I can't say zombie girl because that's another character, Z Girl. And there's this group of tigers is sort of like a G.I. Joe group. They don't really say much about them. There is an issue zero that gives a portfolio of all the dragons, and essentially what happens is there's these dragons, and some of them have different longevities. Like they will die, but then the spirit of the tiger goes into somebody else. It'll like find another host, and it gives you the history of like how many missions these, you know, people have been on and stuff like that. And this issue one does give some backstory of Z Girl, like in the when she's in the tube getting healed because she got injured with her fight with Shiva. She does get some backstory about how she got the marks on her arms, and she's starting to remember it. And I liked it a lot, and the art, the way he draws Z is just amazing. I like it a lot. And it has
Yeah,
a pinups, and the pinups are pretty awesome as well.
I did like his art a lot.
And like I said, I read issue zero, and you can see like Z Girl throughout history. In the first story, she takes out a bunch of zombie kids. They're not really zombie kids. In Nigeria, they're husks of kids that have been killed by another deity. And in the other story, she fights this ghost, this ghoul that's haunting this house. She tricks him into becoming a physical form and then kills the ghost. And then there's a World War I story where Z Girl is in there fighting a vampire in World War I, which is really awesome.
That's
And then it
cool.
gives a lot of backstory. A lot of cool pinups too. Like there's a pinup gallery in the back. He gets a lot of great sketches from other artists to sketch his, you know, this property. I have a sketch too in issue 5 that he did for me because I bought all the issues.
You do.
Yeah. So that's Z Girl and the Four Tigers. I think if you're interested in that, you can go to Indie Planet and get it. I think you can get the entire series. There's 5 issues, but then there's like a one shot that he did, kind of like the Derelict did. So there's, and that's the latest issue. So he did those 5 issues, and then there's a 6th issue, which I didn't even know about until later. He pulled out of his bag. And then there was the Little Red. So I think you can get all that stuff on Indiegogo.
Indie Planet.
Yeah, that's right. I get him confused.
Too
Z
many
Girl.
indies.
Yeah. I haven't finished reading this one yet, but I read issues 0 and 1.
Okay.
Did you get a chance to read the one that, oh, what is it called? The water one?
Saltwater.
Saltwater, yeah.
I did. So saltwater. Oh, hang on.
What's wrong with your voice? Is he hitting puberty? I don't know. I think he is hitting puberty.
Testing, testing, 1, 2. Scooby-dooby-doo.
Did you just hit puberty online?
I don't know. Does my voice sound different?
Yeah, it does. You sound like a man now.
Oh, I think I just noticed a hair down below. Is that normal?
Yeah, it's normal. Don't fear.
I'm scared. My testes have dropped.
Just put some ice on them. I'm sure they'll shrivel back up. Don't worry
Oh,
about
thank goodness.
it.
Yes, salt water.
I found this writer very interesting because he's doing kind of like what I want to do with the comics I create, which is kind of like a one shot to test the waters. And I think his stories had like a beginning and a middle and an end, and were sort of world building, but
Yeah, he had a lot of one shots.
yeah.
Rick Quinn.
I
But
find it
this one.
interesting though, this one had to develop a world in which there's people on the surface, which are like the rich people and the people that have to cross into the underwater domain, which doesn't seem to really be underwater, but they have to like go underwater to get there.
I think it is underwater, but it's like a building underwater. So in order to access it, you have to go. Well, I don't know if that's the only way to access it. I know that's the way the main character accesses it.
But
I'm
it's not
assuming.
like I don't are they do they have gills? I mean, what it seems
No,
like
because I
they
don't think they
have to
had to go
hold their
far
breath. They
underwater.
have to hold their breath underwater to get to the other place.
Yes.
But it's ox there's oxygen and stuff there.
Right. I think it's like a normal building. It's just the structure, but just part of it is underwater, and that's where all the poor people live.
Yeah, there's like a caste system. You have the rich people above the water and the poor people below the water. And you have our female character that works in like a mining.
Right, the way the upper world makes money is by selling gems that the poor people, the workers, mine. So they do the dangerous work and do the mining, and then surprise, surprise, the upper world corporations make all the money off of it. And she used to live in the upper world, but her mother was speaking out against the injustice of the society, the way the society is structured, and she ended up getting. Well, she died under suspicious circumstances. And then her and her father got kicked out of the top world and
But I thought something happened to her father too because she was living with her aunt, I thought.
That is true. What did I don't remember what happened to her
I don't
father.
remember what happened to her father, but something happened to her father, so she was living with her aunt.
It might have been like after they moved down there. I mean, he had just lost his wife and he might have just gone off the rails.
That's what I think happened.
Right, so she's living with her aunt now. And then she comes up with a plan to overthrow the upper world. So that's what this story is. And the art in it is it's watercolor art by Dana Obera.
It's very good. I like it a lot.
Me too.
He's a pretty talented artist. The thing I like about getting an artist like this is you inherently get the colors too.
Yeah. Like there's a couple of pages where he shows like the architecture of the buildings and stuff. That's He does a really good job with that, I think. I like it when they put a lot of detail into the structures so you can just like, if you sit and stare at them for a while, you can like explore the different areas because there's so much detail. And you can tell the artists like put a lot of thought into every little thing. I appreciate that. Yeah, I enjoyed this. I liked it a lot. I think this is actually my favorite of all of the Rick Quinn books that I read.
I only read two of them. I don't know which ones you got. See, I got Saltwater and God, it was some other a story about magic, but I can't find it now.
Yeah, I didn't get the magic one. I got Ghost Butterfly and something else.
Did you read that one?
I did read Ghost Butterfly. That was my least favorite of all of them.
What was the premise of that one?
That's about, it's like a, it's not a post-apocalyptic world, but it's like, I don't know how widespread it was, but it looks like there was like a nuclear accident in this one city. And there's a guy working on the crew to like do the cleanup. So they're going through different areas of the city to, I don't know, I'm not sure what they're looking for. But anyway, so they're doing work in these cities. I don't know if they're trying to decontaminate or what they're doing. And he's actually, you can tell he's looking for something. And he actually finds the house that he lived in, where he wasn't home at the time, but his wife was. So it's really about him trying to like reconnect with his wife who died in this incident.
Oh, I found my other one. I got Split Drifters. And the story about this one is about in a world where magic is sort of outlawed, which we've seen before in various image books and stuff.
Yeah, it sounds
Magic is
like it.
outlawed, and there's these two drifters that want to use magic. And there's this one town that has these like giant robotic defenders, and it goes nuts, so they use magic to take it down. But you find out that one of the users of magic actually broke into the warehouse where this robot was and rewired it so it would attack, so they could look like heroes. So that was kind of interesting. And then there's a backstory about another magic user getting hunted down, because she used magic, but she uses these magic daggers and kills them. So, yeah, it was interesting. I don't know why he throws these ideas out, but then doesn't continue. Like, he'd rather just make
I'll do
another
a
thing
new.
like Ghost Butterfly. It seems like one of them would resonate with you enough that you'd want to try to continue it, you know? The
Yeah, it
artist
is
on this one is
weird.
good, Eric Whalen. I like his art. He's got good artists he picks.
Yeah, I did like the art in all of them. Here's the one I read. Earworm was the other one I read.
Earworm.
Yeah, Earworm. Which is a. It says it's an Uncanny Valley story, and I think he told us something about what the concept was for Uncanny Valley, but I don't remember what it was. Like, I don't know if it's like a thing where different people are doing different stories in this world or something like that. He told us about it, but I don't remember. Anyway, this earworm story is kind of weird. It's about, shit, I'm trying to remember how it started out. Oh, is it there? These police are investigating this guy who he was in his apartment and his head exploded, and they're trying to investigate it. And they have this technology where they can see. And the one cop is like, I got this song in my head and I can't get rid of it. He's trying to figure out what the song is. So then they use this technology. They bring in a specialist to analyze the sound in the room, like e sound echoes in the room, and they find this ear, like an earworm type. They find this like wor the glowing worm of sound, and they follow it, and it's like this thing that it's like an earworm that like or that infects you and like makes you it. It's weird. It's like the connection between music and your memories. So like how music can elicit different memories, and it kind of overloads your that process in your brain and makes your head explode. It was a weird little story. I think that was the only other one I got from him. I didn't get all the ones. He had a bunch. But it is weird, like you said, that like he has a bunch of one shots, and it doesn't seem like any of them he's continued.
He does a good job with the pages he's given, like doing a world building scenario and then getting you into the world, but then it's like you didn't have enough time to vest me. Like, I don't know how to say it. Like,
it's tough. Yeah, it is tough to, within that limited number of pages, to get enough where you feel a connection, a strong connection to the characters.
And we'll see when my book comes out if I succeed or not, because that's what I'm trying to do, exactly what he's doing. Except my intent is if I at least does somewhat decent, where I'm not losing that much money, I might do a sequel. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, for the liquor, for sure the first issue is a standalone and I tell a complete story. And yeah, likewise, hopefully you connect with the character. And well, for the liquor, like the story I'm telling within this issue is complete. Like, I tell the full story.
Yeah, so is mine.
But then once I've introduced you to this world, then yeah, hopefully you're like, well, I want to see more stories about this guy.
The liquor also appears in my book, so
who else? I want to see this guy lick some more people. He'll be saying, "Is he going to lick his next person? Who's he going to lick next?"
Yeah, if you want, stay tuned. The other book that I don't know if you read, this one I liked the best as a one shot, like as a non-continuous story, but was the Matt Lusniewski book that I wouldn't have gotten if you didn't buy it. But you obviously had seen some of his work before, right?
Yeah, he did a book, I think it's called The Freak, which was I don't have it. It was a graphic novel, like a original graphic novel.
Yeah.
But I never read it, but I always wanted to check out his stuff, so I was excited when I saw that he was releasing this one. And I think he just printed this up for Heroes. I think he just printed like a limited number of these just for Heroes to sell at the show. Yeah, so this is called Static, and it was just a one shot.
This one I liked. I liked it because it was one of those stories about, like, at a high level, it's a story of this, I guess he's like a mercenary or a guy for hire that people hire. And in this case, he kills exotic animals to create this. He's working for like a Dr. Frankenstein guy that's sort of building this hybrid monster with different pieces of all these exotic animals. And these are like creatures that are not earthbound creatures. They're like weird looking creatures. I don't even know if they're on Earth. I don't think they're on Earth.
Yeah, but it's either Earth or a future Earth or something.
I like it because it opens up with him like on the floor passed out, and it's like I'm like the derelict. I'm on drugs. And I don't know if I get the impression that he wanted to like change his life a little bit, but I'm not 100% sure. So he takes this jar of little bugs, which I think are like his drug, and he buries
at the beginning of the story, you don't know what he's doing, but yeah, he takes this bug or this jar of bugs and buries it in his yard.
And then he takes off on this cycle. He goes and kills, I don't know, like four or five of these weird creatures with these horns, brings back these horns to this Dr. Frankenstein, and this guy takes those horns and like he's assembling this weird Frankenstein. Like, it's got like a wild boar in the crotch. It's got like a turtle arm. And then he takes those horns and he sticks them in the turtle arm. And then he like turns on the electricity and it makes like a noise out of the crotch, like a wild boar. Like,
yeah, the crotch starts, I think it was howling.
Like howling.
And then the guy's like yelling, screaming.
Yeah, but I
and
don't know.
And the creator's like, it's perfect. It's perfect.
And then he like goes home and he digs up that jar and then takes the drugs again, or takes the beetle and eats it. And then he's like passed out on the floor again. So it was like a story of like rinse and repeat, the day of the life of this hunter, you know?
Yeah. And he does, like, part of it is he's talking about, when he's hunting, he's like, I gotta end this cycle, like, it's the same thing every day.
Right.
I gotta get out of this.
But it kind of says a lot about just life in general, because you could live a life where you're in a cycle. Like, it's
yeah,
just,
you're just
rinse
stuck
and
in the
repeat.
Routine.
You're stuck in the routine.
Because it's comfortable and it's what you know.
Yeah.
And even though it's not, you know, it's not good for you. Well, in this case, certainly, it's not good for you.
Yeah.
It's what you know, and you're just stuck. Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was, by the time I got to the end, I was like, damn, that was pretty emotionally powerful. And we got to talk about the dude's art, man. Talk about a detailed art style.
Yeah, to me,
it's almost like, what were you going to say?
It's like Alex Delaney, but rendered even finer. Like,
I would say it's like a cross between that and like Juan Jose
Rip.
Yeah.
Because when we read Rip, like, we reviewed a couple of issues. I don't remember if it was crossed or if he had done some other issues, but Black Summer or whatever it was, we were looking at, like, the cigarettes and, like, he put so much detail in the background, and we're like, what the hell? Everything is just so highly rendered. Well, this guy's got a lot of detail in his art. He, like, will draw every single
For
rock,
sure.
like where the creatures are. You see all the rocks where they are. You see all the
Every drip of
action.
sweat.
Yeah, every drip of sweat. You see everything.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would because of, I thought the story, even though the story on the surface is really simple, I think it says a lot. I really do. And I don't know if it was just hitting me at some
it does.
Level.
Like I said, by the time I got to the end and everything like connected back up.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
Because he's like passed out on the floor and you're like, what's wrong with this guy? And then
first I thought he was like in a fight at the beginning.
Well, I think he was sort of, because part of it is he's getting injured every time he does this job, which kind it.
But he's doing very.
It kind of says a lot about life in general. Like, if you get into this and you in a job you don't like and it's doing damage to you in ways mentally as well as physically, well, I think in this guy's case it's physical and mental. You know, the job is just eating him up, and the only way that he can survive is he's good at it and like rinse and repeat every day.
Yeah, he comes home, and the only way to deal with everything is just to get blitzed.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, not uncommon for a lot of people.
I don't know if you got to read the Ben Kahn one.
I did. Griffin?
Yeah. I will say he was the favorite person that we met, like, creator-wise, just because he's like this happy dude that's on steroids. Like, he's just
not steroids.
Like energy, like, just
yeah, steroids is not the right word.
Nah, not steroids, because he's not, if you think
he's
muscles
not,
and steroids,
he's a little
this
skinny
guy's
dude.
A skinny guy. But he's got so much energy, like, he just very enthusiastic in the way
yes,
he presents
he's
himself.
Full of energy. Yeah, he's full of energy and very excited about what he's doing, and very excited about our comics that are coming out.
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, he was fun. He was a lot of fun to talk to him.
Yeah, and this comic book is available on Comixology, and I think what he did in order to have a table is he took two chapters out of his, because on Comixology they're like 99¢ a chapter.
Yeah, it's like a digital first
yeah.
type thing.
And he took it and he printed it two chapters as one issue. So and then sold that issue, and I liked it. I liked the lead character. I was even talking back and forth with them about, hey, I like lime jello, but this character hates green jello, man. She hates green jello. That's one thing for sure.
It does.
But there's
also It was also interesting. This is being published by Starburns Industries, so SBI Press, which is weird because I think he printed this himself, but I'm guessing that SBI is going to print the eventual collection of the digital comics.
Yeah, SBI is one of those companies that I've kind of been buying, like dipping my toe in.
They don't print it a lot, so.
Well, they have two or three, maybe two offerings a month.
Do they?
Yeah.
I'm going to look them up in the current previews, see what they're bringing out.
Their Source Point Press. This is the one that I buy a lot from. I seem to like that publisher.
That's a different publisher.
Yeah, that's a different one. SBI has published a couple of things that I've bought, but a lot of them are one shots. Who's that one comedian that used to be on the Drew Carey show? Patton Oswalt. They published his stuff.
Yeah.
I think they had a free comic book day. Hey, you know how you were telling me I got this Scout comic book and it was free comic book day? And we were like, yeah. I don't remember getting this.
Yeah.
It came in my last DCBS shipment, which means that it didn't come out with all the rest of them.
Oh, really? So they missed free comic book day?
Well, I don't know if they missed it or they got damaged books and they sent them back or
something happened.
And then I got my copy later.
Well, that sucks if you release a free comic book day book and it didn't come out. But I guess stores could still put it out now and people will pick it up. I know. I don't even remember it being solicited, though.
But I got it. That means I had to check it off. Do you know what I mean? DCBS only sends me what I check off.
Oh, what you checked. Okay, yeah. So there. I wonder why I didn't get that. This is good. This is interesting. Now I have to look it up.
I just sat. I was on the website and I was just like. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. I don't know what month that was. I'll do a content search. Content.
But I told you, I said, like, I do an inventory of books. I said, I don't remember this one. Like, I don't remember it coming out. And I remember asking you to hand it to me so I could look at the, if it was this year. And it was. And I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, and I knew it was.
Then I got home, and then I got into my DCBS box, and there it was. And I said, oh that's odd.
That's so funny. And there it was. Yeah, I knew it was new, and I knew I hadn't gotten it, but I was surprised that I didn't. Well, maybe I did check it, and maybe it'll be in my next box. I guess that's a possibility.
Yeah, because you're monthly, so maybe you did check it.
And... yeah, so I could be getting another one. Because it had, there's a wrestling comic in it that I was, that I'm interested in checking out.
Yeah.
I think by Aubrey Sitterson. And there's a Gut Ghost preview, which I think I ordered the Gut Ghost. I don't know if it's a number one or a trade, or at least I thought about ordering it. So it has some stuff in it that I really want to check out. So when I saw it, I'm like, damn, I need to, why don't I own this? But that is interesting because now that you mentioned that, it is likely that I did order it and I just haven't gotten it yet. I'm going to go to the
DCBS site and type it in.
I was going to my file, but I guess I could do that too. I was going to go to my file because I wanted to see if I didn't order it, why I didn't order it. What year would that have been? This year? It should be this.
Yeah, it was this year.
My system's failing me.
But anyway, what sells this book, Griffin, is really the personality, I think, of the main character, because she's sort of over the top and violent, and she's captured by this interstellar organization for crimes that she committed, and somebody breaks her out of prison, and then her goal is to assemble like a team. And it so far it consists of this one elf-looking red-faced
creature.
Right,
and that's what she did was there's rebels on the ship who are trying to take over or trying to take down the regime.
Yeah, a rebellion. Yeah.
And she kind of told the rebel, you know, help me out now, get me out of here, and I'll help you out. But she was lying because she didn't really want to help them out. She was only really out for herself.
The art in this is
Oh, there you
spectacular.
go. Scout Comics presents. Yep, it's in
Yeah.
my next order.
There you go. See, I told you.
Oh wow, there's one free comic book day that I still haven't even. I guess maybe it didn't come out. Dark Age Afterburn. One shot. Interesting. Never came out. Or I never got it. I guess it, I don't know. I guess maybe it did come out.
I think I would have enjoyed talking to him more about like how Ben does his comics and how he collaborates with the artist. 'Cause I think he did a really good job in this one shot. Like I don't like to buy digital comics, but I still buy Monica's, so when Monica's comes out, I think I'll go in there and buy this. And there's only one more issue. There's three, 'cause issues there's issue one and two, which we already own, and then there's issue three.
Yeah, and they're bringing that them out in like 11-page chapters. Yeah, definitely worth checking out. And I do own another book by Ben Kahn that I think I own that Shaman book.
Yeah.
But which was a graphic novel. I haven't read it yet.
He did a scout
No,
book too.
did he?
Yeah. I can't find his other book, Shaman, but that means that maybe Shaman wasn't go through Diamond.
I thought it was Oh, Heavenly Blues. Is that the that's the
Yeah,
scout book.
that's the one that I have, Heavenly Blues. I like that they rescue this guy too that is supposed to be so is really super intelligent. And this one girl from the rebellion is, don't you know she's using you? And he goes, everybody's using me.
Oh,
But
the
you know,
scientist, yeah.
yeah, he goes, I have my own goals that he's trying to achieve.
Didn't they say like he invented something? Like he's an important scientist,
Yeah,
isn't
he
he?
says governments use me, corporations, revolutionaries, genetically enhanced death cults. You all just want to use my findings and try to make the universe better, as if that means anything. And he says, so you can play your games, but he knows what he's doing the battle between the living and the unknown. That's what he, in other words, he's using sciences as reason for supporting things that he doesn't even believe in, is because he's advancing science.
Yeah, all he cares about is the
Yeah.
science. He doesn't care what anyone does with it.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. I'm glad he put it out in print, or I would have never tried it. I mean, for me personally. Makes me want to dig out that Heavenly Blues and finally read it.
Wonder if I have that. I wonder if I read that. What's it about?
You could look at your. I accidentally found something I need to order by typing in Shaman. Have to add to my comic shop right now. There's a continuity book called Shaman. It's just a one shot, and I'm trying to complete that world. Shaman. Continuity in stock. $1.70, very fine. Add to cart. Boom. I did add to my cart Boogeymen.
Yes, Boogeyman from Sergio. It looks like I did not order Heavenly Blues.
Why
Why
would
didn't
you
I
not have
order it?
done that?
I have no idea. I'm gonna have to look at the record. I'll look, check my records. That is strange.
Yeah, 6 issues. I have it. I just gotta go dig it out. It's the same artist too. Now it's even
Oh, is
more
it
incentive to go read it because I like the art a
Bruno
lot.
Hidalgo?
Yeah.
It was good. It was very fitting for the story and for the characters, because it was kind of more of a lighthearted. I mean, there's violence and all, but it's more of a lighthearted take on sci-fi adventure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We got to go to some panels. We didn't go to many, but we did go to some panels.
We did. And I gotta say, before the con on whatever Thursday night, we were looking through the panels for the show. And some of the days it was like there's like four or five that were like great panels that I would love to have gone to. Like, I think you could go to Heroes and just go to panels like the
Yeah.
whole time. Because there are some amazing ones that we just didn't have time for.
I think there was a couple panels that we missed because of lunches. You know, like we were coordinating lunches and we were like, okay, we're all meeting here at this time, and they're like, we're like, oh fuck, that's like 5 minutes from now. We have to leave now. And so there was a couple panels we missed because of that, and then there was a couple panels we debated on because we didn't even go through all of Artist Alley. Like we were, it seemed like we missed some aisles, and we, on the last day, we were finally making it a point to go through every single aisle. And even when you go through every single aisle, you still don't see everything. You see part of things.
Yeah, you always miss stuff, even when you're trying to pay attention to everything. And then the other problem was there was some where it was like there was one where it was like at one time slot there was three panels we wanted to go see.
Yeah.
It's like, damn it, why did they put them all at the same
Well,
time?
one panel, you went off and did that panel, and
Yeah,
I
one
did
we
the
had to we
other.
split up.
Yeah. And it was totally because I was interested. I got like the Bonnie and Clyde thing. I can't leave things alone, and I got infatuated with the granddaughters of
Yes, because we went
DC
to a panel and there
Comics.
was a surprise guest.
And I was blown away, right? I mean,
Viewer.
I only went to the panel because Andrew Peepoy was there.
Yeah, it was Andrew Peepoy and the daughter of Major Matt Nelson. Is that his name?
N yeah.
Granddaughter, did I say that right? Talking
And
about the publisher that the publishing company he started that became DC Comics or the DC
right.
Bot.
And that
And then there was a
panel.
special guest at the panel.
Yeah, it was Athena Finger from the Batman and Bill documentary on
Documentary.
Hulu, and she showed up, and I was like blown away, and I was like, wow, this is like Legacies. It's the granddaughter of the person who started DC Comics and the granddaughter of one of the co-creators of Batman, and I went in that rabbit hole, and then I found out there was another panel with the Marston granddaughter, so I went to both of those.
Yeah, the Wonder Woman panel.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the hell out of them. And I think it was, I don't think it would have, like, if I was in Bill's shoes, I really don't think it wouldn't have meant as much to me if I didn't see the documentary. But
Right.
because I
Yeah,
saw
that's
the
where.
Because I saw the documentary and I love the documentary so much and it hit so many emotional tones with me, I was just like ecstatic that I was meeting these characters. You know, Grant, this is history, and I would love to find out. Like towards the end, even with the Wonder Woman panel, I was talking to the Marston granddaughter and just trying to find out like. 'Cause I love the movie. Like, I didn't find the movie disrespectful to either Marston or the two women that were in it. I found the movie very fascinating, but I knew the family did not approve of the movie. So I was just trying to like dig into like gold nuggets of what she didn't like about the movie, and I still couldn't get gauge it. Like I was only there for like 3 minutes after the panel, and I couldn't gauge what she didn't like. And but I would have loved to talk to her more about her side of the story. All I know is that there is a book that was written before the movie even came out, and there was another fan in the audience that was talking about that book. And she says that woman was wonderful, and then she did go to the families and ask for research. It's just that she didn't use the research that she gave them. She like twisted some stuff. But that is not to say, because even Bill made this a point, and he made me think, what if she found some other research by her investigation that revealed some other truths that the family doesn't want out? Well, of
Or
course
that
that.
they may, or she probably discovered stuff that the family didn't even know about.
Right. And in that process, the family doesn't want all their dirty laundry aired
Right.
out, you know what I mean? So the best you can do as a person that wants to know the history is just to gather both sides and then try to fact find yourself. Do you know what I mean? Because you'll never know what the truth is. But you can get close to it, and I had a blast at those panels, and it was great talking to both the Nicholson woman. She gave me like a lot of like these awesome printouts of the history of comics that was drawn, and she just gave them to me like because I went to her table to talk to her. And they were about her grandfather, and I haven't dug into them yet, but I want to. I can talk about it in a future episode.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
And I did get some postcards from Athena Finger that she drew. So yeah, that was that for me was I don't know. I just it's just amazing that that's 3 generations of when comics were created. Do you know what I mean? When you just sit back and think about when DC com you know, this is before Superman and things weren't they were more pulpy when that all started. This woman did she say she was in her 70s? She looked younger than 70, but I think she
Yeah,
said 70.
I think she said 70s.
If you go back just 2 generations, that's her grandfather. That just amazes me. It just good
Was
stuff.
funny in on that one panel, in both their cases, neither of the granddaughters like knew anything about their legacy until they started researching it.
Right.
Or until people brought the information to them.
Athena Finger wouldn't even known if it was the guy who that did all the
Yeah,
research.
the documentary guy.
And then on the case of the major, she her father finally went to her, and she wasn't close to her father, she
Oh, that's
said.
right. He sent her like a box of.
Yeah. He basically gave her a box, like a shoe box of all this material of her grandfather, and she says, "You need to know where you came from." And she started researching it and became infatuated with it and actually wrote a book. And I do own that book if I can ever read some prose. And that's what's so weird about this whole thing is I bought that book Sight Unseen, not even knowing what the hell it was, just based on title.
You knew it was something about the history of
I knew it
DC.
was about DC and it was before Superman. So I was like, that is interesting. I need to check this out. And just coincidentally, through Andrew Peepoy, I got to meet these two women I wouldn't even known were there. I would have skimmed by their tables, not even looked. And yeah, it's weird how things come together like that. It was amazing.
It was cool that at this convention that Heroes ended up getting like all three of them. Like it seemed like they They probably got one and were like, hey, why don't we try and get like all the granddaughters?
Yeah, it's amazing that you could see this sort of thing. Like you don't even think about it, but it we the thing about it is that just fucking blows my mind is I wouldn't have these like close friends, like I mean people that I consider brothers and that I love to death without comics. Like I would be a different person. Like the people that I love, I mean, that are at the top of my, I have met through comic books. And so it's like all this stuff about comic books going back generations has added to me meeting all these people that I love today. So like, I just fucking appreciate any history that I can get, you know, like it's
Yeah,
just,
if not for their grandparents.
yeah, if not for their grandparents, there wouldn't have been a DC Noise. There might have been a Geek Brunch, I don't know, but it might have been about something else, I don't know. DC Comics is why I'm in comics, really. It wasn't for DC, I wouldn't have probably got engrossed in comic books.
I wonder if that's true or not. I don't think it's true. I mean, I understand that DC was your way in, but I have a feeling that if DC wasn't around and it was some other company, that still would have, I think comics would have found you and pulled you in no matter what.
Probably because the real thing that pulled me in was the dump, the garbage dump. So as long as they threw away comics,
You would have found
I would have
them.
found them. So I don't know what it would have been, but I would have found, I mean, a lot of the comics that I found with covers ripped off were DC and Archie. I didn't see too many Marvel thrown away. I don't know if that's saying something, but
I wonder if you just didn't find the Marvel bag, or if Marvel at that
sold
time
so well.
wasn't doing the money back thing.
Could be that, or it could be that they sold them too. They sold well.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
So you got all the crap from the comic book companies. And
That's
how
how
amazing was it when you could actually buy the good comics that sold that people
I.
actually wanted? You must have been in heaven.
But it
Wow,
was
there's
still
actually good
DC.
comics out there.
It was a combination of that and the Super Friends. Like
Oh man, Super
the
Friends.
Super Friend comics cartoon is sort of responsible for making me want to read more about these superheroes.
About those characters,
Yeah.
yeah.
I love the Super Friends cartoons. I mean, that was just
Was really big when we were in grade school.
yeah.
Because I was right about that time. That was an after school show, I think, for me, wasn't it?
For me, it was Saturday
Or was
mornings,
that a
but
Saturday morning one?
it
Yeah, I
might have
guess it
been in
was.
syndication
Yeah,
wherever
maybe
you were
later
at
it
in
was.
Canada.
I just couldn't remember. But I remember it. Yeah, that was the best time as a kid. Like, you'd sit down and look at the lineups and try and figure out what shows you were going to watch Saturday morning.
It was awesome too because it was like going to the panels, like the struggle of
Yeah,
do I go to
chewing
this
on the
one or
same
do I
time.
go to this one? I want to watch them both. And you didn't have a VCR to record them, so you had to make tough decisions.
Yeah, you had to be cutthroat.
And then you felt like, okay, I'm engaged in the Lone Ranger Tarzan. I want to watch this. I got to give up this. And it was a conflict. But
We learned
while I
that
was
to
in
make
that,
tough decisions.
while I was in that Wonder Woman panel, this was a panel on Sunday. You went to see a panel that I really wanted to be in, which may still be out there on the YouTubes, but
It will be eventually. Yeah, so it was one of the ones by the cartoonist kayfabe guys. So I assume that their panels will be available on their
do you
YouTube
know
channel.
why I wanted to be at that panel?
I don't know. They were talking to Michelle Fife and Charles Forman.
And that's why I wanted to be at the panel was for
Charles
Charles
Forman.
Forsman. The other guys I like a lot. Like
Yeah, so the two guys, so it was Ed Piskor and Jim Rugg,
yeah.
and then those two guys. So it's four similar, I guess, creators in terms of their arcs.
Yeah, and
But
you
they
could
actually,
say like Tom Scholey could have been there too. He would have fit right in.
yeah, I think he wasn't at the con this year.
Yeah. I wonder why. 'Cause he's usually tabled with those guys. The thing that's amazing though, like about this is Ed Piskor and Jim Rugg, I was buying stuff from them like at the very beginnings of Heroes Con. So it just goes to show like where they've come, you know, like
They've been around. Yeah, they've been around for a
yeah,
long time.
Piskor, I bought that WYSIWYG stuff from.
WYSIWYG, yeah.
Yeah, WYSIWYG. And now he's like the Hip Hop Family Tree and X-Men Grand Design, which
Yeah, now he's
are
got the X-Men
huge.
money.
They're huge though, like in terms of like what he invested in them, because he had to research a lot.
Yeah,
Like
especially the yeah, both of them, they're huge history projects trying to dig out all the information.
yeah.
Yeah, both of them are not are certainly significant efforts in terms of just the from the historical perspective.
And from Jim Rugg, I met him through podcasting. I don't remember what, but I had to buy Aphrodisiac. That was my first. But he had done other stuff like Street Angel and stuff like
Yeah,
that.
History Angel, I think, was his first
Yeah.
big one.
So I bought several years ago Aphrodisiac, and I think I got a sketch in there too. This is when they would actually draw for you if you bought something in the
Back
book.
when they had time to do
Yeah,
it.
back when they had time and they didn't have a $300 commission list, you know what I mean? And I know that Campbell has gotten a lot of beautiful pieces from Jim Rugg. So I knew those two guys. And I know Fife, how does he pronounce his name?
I think it's Fife.
Fife, and it's Michelle.
Michel Fife.
Fife. I found him at Heroes Con many years ago, and I found it on my own. Nobody told me about this guy, but I was just in an artist alley, and I picked up one of his issues of Suicide Squad. And what is the title of it now?
Copra.
Copra. Copra. I picked up an issue of Copra. Just at the table, I was like thumbing through it. I didn't even know what it was. He didn't give me a spiel about it. I went home that night, kind of like I read the Derelict, and I read it and I was like, "What the fuck? This is like Suicide Squad." So ever since I read that one issue, I was buying from his Bergen Street Press all of the trades of Copra. So I own all of the Copra trades before they're becoming big now on Image, because Image is putting them out.
Yeah, who's moved image?
But and then Charles Forsman, you introduced me to Forsman, I think it was 2 years ago. It might have been at Heroes. Yeah, it had to be at Heroes if you were there. I think you were talking to him about at when we first met him, when they were just End of the Fucking World was coming out on Netflix, or close to it. It was close to being released. It hadn't been released yet, and Bill was talking to him about, you know,
Right, because I'd
the
read
creation, because he had read the book. He bought it off of previews when it was coming out, or from Artist Alley sometime. And I hadn't read any of it, but I went to Artist Alley. I bought all the Revengers and everything that he had. I essentially cleaned his whatever he had there, and I was like, God damn, this shit is so fucking bizarre and so dark and twisted and depressing that I wanted to read more. I was like, and that's the guy that I wanted to go to the panel for, because I think, well, if Sholi was there, it would have been for Tom, because Tom, my first heroes was meeting Tom.
Yeah,
My
you've.
first commission ever paid was Tom.
Oh, is it?
So it I don't know. It goes back when Heath and I first met at Heroes at my very first convention that I met Tom Scholey. So all these guys are sort of connected. Like Scholey's on their podcast, and they all have similar type artistic views on comics, wouldn't you say? They're like
Well, they're all about the same, 'cause they're all indie guys who have also done stuff for big companies. Like they've self-published and they all started in self-publishing and then have moved up to bigger companies. And Enforcement's got kind of gone to the even the next level, which is the Netflix level.
Which I want Slasher to be so much to be in that the next property to be
Oh
adapted.
my gosh. I know. He said that they're working on he said he couldn't talk about it, but they're doing more projects of his. So I'm hoping that Netflix just like said, we just want the rights to all your stuff and we're just gonna they probably did the first one to try it out. And then they're probably just like, yeah, we'll take all of them. Because
Yeah.
it's a perfect fit for Netflix, so I look for it. And they're doing that. What are they working on now?
I know it's
Oh,
about that
it was the
girl.
one about that girl, yeah.
I can't think of what the title is, but I know what the story is. It's about that girl with those powers that's also a depressed person.
Yeah. Man, yeah, it's very exciting. I'm very happy for him. It was a good panel. It was really interesting. Should definitely watch it when it comes out on when they release it on YouTube. It was interesting just to hear all of their takes. Basically, they're talking about just their experience in the comics industry and how they started and where they're at now and their thoughts on everything in the industry from their perspective. So that was a really good panel. I like that one.
Yeah, and I guess I'm stupid naive on like artist what do you call it? Their sketchbooks now. But like now that I got that Tula Lute sketchbook, I understand why they charge so damn much for them is 'cause they actually do a sketch in the book. I never realized that until it's gone.
I don't think they always. I mean, for Tula Lutes, you could buy it for $20 without a
Oh,
sketch,
yeah, you can.
or you could get it with a sketch for ten for
And
ten more
but I
bucks.
wonder
Which,
if Michelle Pfeffer was doing the same thing.
yeah, he was. He
Yeah,
was.
because I would have I think I would have I think I would have maybe done that if I would have known. But the Tula Lute thing was a good experience too.
And to go back to the panels for a second,
Yeah.
I'm looking at the I pulled the cat whatever the what the hell what's it called?
The convention manual or the
Yeah, the brochure or
schedule?
whatever.
Yeah.
And at the same time as the two panels we went to, there's another one that I would have liked to have gone to, which was storytelling through environments, character, and prop design with Robert Atkins.
Oh, wow, that would have been a good one.
I know, that would have been a
Cuz
great panel.
we did run into Robert on one of the days he was heading to the booth 'cause he works for SCAD. And were you with me when I ran
Teaching.
into him?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he showed us
Yeah, he
art from
showed us
G.I.
his
Joe,
panels. Yeah, he showed us some
and I
pages.
was like, these are amazing. Like they looked amazing. And he is drawing differently now. He's doing more in the Shannon Gallant, like 8.5 by 11 art
Yeah,
page
smaller
now.
page
Yeah,
size.
smaller page size. Really cool. I would have loved to go to that panel. I didn't even know that panel was there.
I only knew because after my panel ended a little before your panel, and I was standing out there, and it was the room like right across from where yours was. So I was kind of
Yeah.
looking in the window watching him. Was like, "Oh, damn! I didn't know about it beforehand." Or I was like, "Oh, that would have been
That's the
a good
problem though,
thing."
I think this year is they stacked a lot of the panels that we wanted to go to on top of each other. Like
We did have that
I think there
several
was one at the
times.
Sergio panel, but we said for sure, I mean there was one panel that we agreed on Friday or maybe it was Thursday night when we were in the room. We said we're going to the Sergio panel. Like that was the
Yeah, there
one
was a
panel that we were gonna go to.
that was a cool so that panel was it was on Gru because they had Mark Evanier, Sergio, and Stan Sakai.
Fucking
Like
amazing
all three
panel.
of the characters or all three of the creators of Gru, like on the same panel, just talking about their lives making Gru, which has been going on for
You
who
know
knows.
what it
20
You know
years or
what it
whatever.
reminded me of, just in tone? Not it reminded me of the Marv Wolfman, George Perez, because I felt like emotionally tied to them. You know what? Just because you could tell they've been together for years. There's all this history with these creators, and it came out in the panel, and it almost brings like a tear to your eye. Like even when Sergio was up there and he was talking about like take, you know, one of the questions was like, what was one of the most important things that, you know, you experienced in your comic career? And
I was
Sergio
very
came to
emotional.
like came real emotional, and I like even cry about it now just thinking about it. But he was just like when he took all the creators to see his mom, and his mom
It
cooked
took him
for
back to
them.
his childhood home.
Yeah, and he
Yeah,
just
his
like he
mom
got choked
cooked dinner
up.
for them.
It was amazing, and they just the way that Evanier and Sergio like banter off one another. It's like they know each other's next sentence.
Yeah, they've been doing it for so
And
long.
Sergio would always throw in those one-liners just to like make everybody laugh, you know, when
Yeah,
Mark was
he was
talking.
really funny. He was really funny. And one of the interesting things, someone asked a question, which I was actually thinking of asking myself, which is, what is your process, your writing process, or your creative process for Gru? And it's interesting because they said it depends. Like sometimes Mark will come up with an idea and give it to Sergio, and Sergio will run with it. Sometimes Mark will do a complete script and give it to Sergio. Sometimes Sergio comes up with an idea and gives it to Mark. Sometimes Sergio does the art first and then hands it to Mark.
I love that. That's why I want to get the boogeyman, is because I love that story. It's like,
Oh, the Boogeyman story?
it's like the Mark Evanier and Sergio are supposed to be doing this book called The Boogeyman, and Mark and Evanier shows up at places and they're like, "I hear about the boogeyman. It's coming out soon." And it's like, what? He didn't know he was
Right,
even
because,
doing
well,
that
yeah,
because
they came up with the
Sergio
con
had drawn the whole damn thing.
yeah they came up with the concept together, and they're like, yeah, we should do that sometime. And then the next he hears of it is, yeah, it's done. And yeah, and they're like, yeah, it's done, here, there's the here's the posting of the or the four covers. And he looks and he's like, what?
Oh my God, that was hilarious. I have to track down. There's only four issues to this Dark Horse series, and they're on my order form right now.
Yeah, that was a great panel. Mark is a good storyteller as well, obviously. And Stan only did the inking, so he had less to say on this panel, but
Oh, he had lettering, but he had
oh yeah, sorry, lettering.
he's amazing because they told the Stan Sakai story of how he got involved in comics. And it's really crazy because he contacted Sergio because he knew who Sergio was, and
Yeah,
they were
they were.
part of this comics like guild, like they had like
They
a
said
cartoonist
when
guild.
Stan moved to Los Angeles or whatever, he didn't know anyone, so but he was interested in comics, so he went to like this comic club meeting.
He just looked him up in the phone book, I think he said. He just trying to find out his number, and he really talked to Sergio on the phone, and Sergio invited him to this cartoonist guild that they had, this meetup, this group that would meet up, and they needed a letter, and he didn't even know how to letter, but he's like, holy crap, I could figure this out. So he pulls out a comic scene and an article
Well,
that
they said, yeah, they
Todd
asked him,
Klein
like,
did.
do you know how to letter? He's like, I've
Yeah,
lettered.
I can letter. But he didn't really know, and he said, "Thank God for Comic Scene," which is a magazine that me and you both loved growing up.
I love Comic
And
Scene.
Comic Scene had a Todd Klein article on how to letter. He read the article, and then everything else after that is history because that taught him how to letter enough to so his lie was true, you know. What a
Hilarious.
fantastic bunch of creators that was, and Barb was even in that panel and enjoyed it, and she liked Sergio. Like she went to San Diego Comic-Con and saw Sergio a couple times, and she's just blown away at his how he could do art. And when he
Yeah,
was
he's great.
youthful back in 2006, God, it was amazing seeing him sketch stuff because he was in like the quick draw panels, and he, I think Evanier even like what do you call it, moderated it.
Moderated it, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like Jim Lee, him and Scott Shaw and Kyle Baker. I mean, you talk about big names doing quick draw, you know what I mean? And it was just people from the audience shouting out ideas, and then they would have to quickly sketch something that was related to that idea. And Sergio would have 11 by 17 page covered as they were talking. Like he was just sketching so fast. It was incredible to see him do it. He's an amazing artist and person from what I can tell. I'd like to know more. And any other panels that we went to? I can't think of them.
That might have been it. Do we go to any on Friday? I don't remember.
I don't think we did. I think we wanted to, but I don't think things worked out.
There's definitely.
I think the luncheons and stuff prevented us from doing that.
Yeah, and the other, it's hard, like, especially on Friday, you get to the show. The first thing you want to do is go down to the floor. You don't want to go to a panel. And if you're on the floor and walking around, if you've only been there for a half an hour, you don't want to like all of a sudden stop and go to a panel because you're too excited about being on the floor. The one I wish I'd gone to is the Art of Cover Composition.
Oh, with those women. Oh my God. Wasn't Lotte and
Yeah, it's Colleen Doran, Jenny
oh
Frison,
jeez.
Tula Lotay, and Vanessa Del Rey.
I would have loved those. All those women are beautiful artists. They draw so damn good, and I'm a
Those are
fan of all of them.
some of the top covers from
But
those guys.
of those four, Vanessa Del Rey and Tula Lotay
Tula
just
Lotay, yeah.
knock me on my ass. They just, I have a Vanessa Del Rey commission. She drew the shadow for me because I love my pulp. And I now have a Tula Lotay head sketch. Let's talk about that a little bit
Yeah, let's
because
talk about that.
this is pretty fascinating. I think the whole story behind this is kind of fun. At least it was for me and Bill, because I had no intention of getting anything signed or nothing, okay? But we were talking to Eric of Cowabunga Comics. I think it was Friday. It must have
Yeah,
been
must have been.
Friday. It was like Friday night, towards the tail end of the con when it was getting ready to close. Maybe around 5 or 6. We were talking for a while. Wouldn't you say it was almost like
Yeah,
40 minutes to an hour? It
it was
was
a
a
good
long
hour.
time. We were just in the middle of the aisle. And we were just talking about comics. And somehow Tula Lute came up. And I was just like, God, I love her art. Like, I just adore her art. And I can't believe she's here. And I didn't bring my Faithless Exotic cover. That's how it came out. And Eric, out of the kindness of his heart, he said, I'll give you the Tula Lute Faithless cover. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, I'll give you this. Not only that, but when we went out to eat on S Saturday, was it? No, it was Friday night. Maybe it was Saturday. I can't
I think it was
remember.
Saturday.
It was
Oh,
Saturday. He
never
gave me
try.
the, yeah, it was Saturday night. When we went out to eat Saturday night, he gave me the comics. The Faithless cover, which I already had, and I was like, "Well, do you want me to ship my Faithless cover?" And I was like, "Well, I've opened it obviously because I wanted to see the what she drew, but you could have mine. I'll ship it to you." And no, he just said, "You can have it." And he also gave me a Black Magic cover that she drew. So I was like, "God, I'm gonna get this signed." And so I was like, no big deal. It's Sunday morning, you know. There was six people in front of me. I'm like, this ain't gonna take any time. But then I was in line and I'm like, God damn, everybody's getting a sketch. And I was like, this is gonna take forever. And I almost gave up, like after the first one, and I saw what the
Well,
people in front of me were
yeah,
gonna
and these
do.
weren't like quick sketches either. She was doing
No.
like colors on some of them, and
Well,
she was taking her time.
she was using pencil, and then she was taking her time with watercolor, and then she had a huge bathroom break, which lasted about 15 minutes. And I was like, do I want to wait for this? Like, and I was like, I gotta stay the course. Like, part of me is just leave, just get out of line, come back later. I'm so glad I didn't, because her line never went down, and she was leaving early. So I waited in line, I stuck it out. And it was an awesome experience because you got to see her draw, and then Bill had to break the ice because I don't know, we were talking about being nearsighted or
That was funny. No, it was they started talking. It was her and then her. I don't know if it was if it's her partner or manager or whoever, some guy. And they were talking about, she was saying something about that she was at the eye doctor and they were wanted to give her the transition
bifocals,
lenses or
yeah. The
whatever.
progressive lenses.
And she said she didn't want them because she doesn't like them. And we had just been talking about that the night before
Yeah, because me
in our
and Bill
hotel
are at a
room.
state where we can't see shit anymore. And we were just talking about it. So we talked a lot
That's
about
how I'm like, hey, we were just
getting
talking about that
old.
last night. Yeah, so we had a nice chat about being old
Yeah.
with school, I think.
And then the guy kind of bonded with us because he's like, do you have a camera? I'll take pictures of you with Tula. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. So I got like three pictures. Well, me and Bill are in one of them, and then me looking at Tula, and then he like took an angle where she's like drawing my sketch, and that was an awesome experience. The thing that I think I was really rewarding during this long wait, because it was like 45 minutes, was that I got to see her interact with everybody there, and
Right, with all the
she.
people around you.
She treated everybody so graciously and talked to everybody, and she wasn't like, you know how sometimes artists are introverts, or you know they won't look up, or they know you're there, they don't mean to be disrespectful, but they're more on the shy side,
Oh,
like
they're
they won't
working and
engage. She would engage in conversation and look up at you, and just the way she presented herself made you feel like I want to be here. Do you know what I
right, you're
mean? Like,
getting an experience.
yeah. So, yeah, that was an awesome experience. And thanks to Eric, man. That was nice of you to
And it was
do. And
funny. I didn't wait in line with you. I would like come around every once in a while and see if you're still. I remember the first time I came back because I figured, oh, he's probably done by now. And I went up and the line had moved like one person.
Yeah, I
I'm
think
like,
you came by
ah.
about th three or four times, but the last time you stuck it because there was
Yeah, you're
only the
next in
guy in
line.
front of
Yeah.
me. I was up next, so Bill stuck with me, you know, through
For that, yeah, that
that
last time.
last 10 minutes or so that we were in line. And I will say that you meet some fascinating people in line. Like the majority of people I saw in line were huge fans. Like they were. One of the guys had her work from Supreme Blue Rose bound in a book along with Warren Ellis's Trees, and he wanted a sketch in that book. Like he had itself hard, you know, his
Yeah, bound hardcover.
bound hardcover that he did himself or had paid somebody to do. And a lot of them just loved her art and had different books, and a lot of books I didn't even know existed. Like I own them all, but I guess I didn't realize they were Tula LaDei.
Oh, the cover she did.
Yeah, like covers she did.
There are probably some variant. She's done a lot of variant covers too, so
Yeah.
that could have been the case with a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a
But
lot
then.
of them is like I didn't know she did that, or I didn't know she did that, and I was like learning a lot. And then you get the assholes, okay? There was
The
the
guy
guy in
behind you.
back of me, the guy in the back of me, I like knew originally it was like seven of us in line, and he was the only guy in back of me. And we were all talking about what we're getting signed, and he saw that I was getting the, you know, the Faithless
Not
erotic
a
edition,
cover.
the naughty cover signed, and He had 50 copies of the erotic cover he wanted signed, and I happened to hear even before, because he was talking to a buddy of his that was walking by, like Bill. He's like, "Yeah, I'm selling these for like X amount on eBay, and I already sold like a bunch last time." And I was like, "Oh man, this is some bullshit." So when I had her sign mine, I had her put to Mike. I had her personalize it, because I just fucking get aggravated at that shit. But he was there the next day. Remember we saw him the next day?
Yeah, on he was in line yet again with like a stack, and that's what we were wondering, if maybe she limited him to a certain number and then said, if you want to get the rest signed, come back
You know
tomorrow or
what?
something.
We ate with Eric. We ate with Eric on Friday night, because Friday is when
Yeah, because you
we
right, because you
talked to
didn't.
him for on the floor, and we said, "Oh yeah, let's hook up." And we met at Bricks with his brother-in-law, Caleb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it must have been, yeah, so Saturday. Yeah, 'cause
Saturday is when she was going, 'cause she was gonna be there all day Saturday, and she said she was leaving Sunday morning or in the afternoon.
right. Yeah,
And
they were leaving
Sunday
early
we
on
walked
Sunday.
by, and that same guy was in line. Do you remember the
Yeah,
guy that was in
because
back of my with the 50 Faithless covers?
yep, same guy.
Yeah.
More.
I was like, "There's that fucker again."
So I just hope she limited him.
Yeah. Maybe I hope those were the same books, and she gave him 10 to sign, and then she was going to sign the other 10 today if he waited in line. At least he was persistent. But there were
Maybe.
two guys. It wasn't just one, 'cause the guy that actually had him sign the first time was not the guy that was waiting in line in back of me. So there, I think he was getting other books signed. This guy was waiting in line for him, and then he got him signed. So there was something fishy going on there.
Weird. Wait, so he paid someone to wait in line for him?
I think it was a friend of his. Like, if I got you to
Okay.
wait in line for me and then I came by at the very end, like you did, to reap all the reward.
Why
Yeah,
didn't
like
you I sh why didn't you let
look,
me
I'm
reap the rewards,
here.
Mike?
I'm here. I didn't wait in line, but I'm going to talk to Tulu Lutai. I think I will.
I did talk to her. I didn't get anything signed, though.
Yeah. That was a good experience. I'm glad it all worked out. Weirdly worked out.
Yeah, unplanned.
Yeah, totally unplanned.
Was fun. Yeah, it was a good was a good con. And it almost seemed like there were more comic dealers this year and less, like there's no like big t-shirt thing, which I don't know, does Heroes usually have that or not?
Yeah, they have usually one big t-shirt booth.
Yeah, they did have that, and they seem to have less toy booths this year. I mean, they did have a bunch like up near the front, but there's a lot of comic dealers.
There was a lot.
Like a lot. I didn't even look at all of
And
them.
you
There were
know
so
what? I
many.
think it's exceptional, 'cause there's usually a lot of like artists in Artist Alley, like drawing commissions, but there
Right.
was a lot of artists that had like books they were
Oh,
selling.
comics. Yeah, there was
Yeah,
tons
there
of
was just a
comics.
lot of comics. They were everywhere. And then I did buy some big books. Like, I bought an issue of Green Lantern with Golden Age Harlequin on it. I bought a Golden Age Captain Marvel where he's hiring a secretary. And I bought a Flash comics that had a very early Kubert Hawkman cover. So I did buy some big books too. And then we went 50 Cent diving.
We did.
Yeah. And unlike Bill, like I God, there was if I had lists on this 50 Cent thing, I would have gotten a lot more like X-Men, because they had stuff in order, not necessarily in alphabetical. They were in alphabetical order, but not within their alphabet were they in order. But like, if you had section A,
Right.
well, it'd
The
have
sec,
books
yeah,
that
they had like
began
a
with
box
A.
for A, or a couple, these boxes have A comics, these ones have B
And that
comics.
was pretty cool, because Usually when they're cheap books like that, they don't even bother to do that.
Right. Yeah,
They're
it was
just
nice
all
and it,
over.
right. So then it cut down on the number of boxes you need to look through if you're looking for something specific.
Yeah.
Like I went back to get the Supreme Blue Roses, and they were scattered throughout the S box, but they were all
They were all
within like
there.
yeah,
Yeah.
few
And imagine
boxes.
if you were to get books signed, you could have had a full run of that and got Tula to sign them.
I could have. It wasn't a full
Yeah.
run though.
Yeah.
But I already had it wasn't they didn't have a number
Let
one,
me
but I
know
already had a
know
couple.
which issues you're missing, because I went on that My Comic Shop Supreme Feel the Thing, and I didn't realize I had that in the closet of unarchived books.
Oh, see if actually, I think I'm only missing one issue.
Yeah, I can probably get it to you. But yeah, that was fun. I what I found is I found some more Anarchy comics, the vampy ones, the manga ones. I found a couple of Image books that I didn't have. Just a bunch of weird miscellaneous, like from Eclipse and Pacific and
Yeah, I wish they had more of the 90s stuff, but they had a pretty decent selection.
yeah. If I could have bought more, I bought it at the threshold. I could have fit more 10 more pounds if in Barb's suitcase, but I was maxed. Like I couldn't go very much farther than I did without doing more carry-on. Like
Right.
I was at comic book capacity for luggage.
Yeah, that's why I didn't go overboard just because I knew I wouldn't be able to lug it all.
But having said that, on Sunday we found the Heaven booth. I
Oh,
loved I this booth. I would have shopped for days if I would have known it existed. But they did exactly like what the treasure place does that me and Campbell shop up, is they have the $5 box of miscellaneous. They have the $10, the $20, and then they have at priced as books, and they had a lot of good stuff in there, like just a lot of good
and
stuff.
those there's probably about 20 box 20 long boxes. Oh no, there are double short boxes,
Yeah, I had
like
trouble with
20
the
wide.
I had trouble with the ones that were going to the back because I have short arms.
Yeah, that's far
So
back when you have
I would
two
have to
short
go I would
boxes.
have to go to the back side and kind of like look that way.
Yeah, they should have flipped them so you could have gone to the back side and the front side.
But I found some gems. I found some early magazine issues of Eerie. I found some Sergeant Rock and GI Combat I hadn't had. War is Hell. I found a lot of old Archie. Like I always pick up Archie when I can get a chance at it, especially if they're 10-cent and 12-cent issues, or if they're bikini issues because they're hot on eBay right now, and I figure I might as well get them for cheaper if I can get them. But man, I bought a lot of good stuff. We bought this unusual book.
My favorite Archie that you got is the Twister one.
That's the best one. Because him and Betty are playing Twister, and Veronica's getting pissed because it's getting nasty. It's getting nasty.
Was a good one.
Yeah.
But that those boxes were fun just to go through because to see what was in them, because there was things in there that I'd never, a lot of the stuff there I've never heard of before. And it
Well,
was
like
just a, it was
we picked up.
fascinating just to go through the boxes.
I picked up these books. I didn't even know what they were. Sight Unseen. I didn't even open them. Called Sexed and Sexty, just because of covers alone.
Yes,
And
and the name.
you Bill picked up one too,
I
where the
did get a
guy.
Sexton Sexy
What
Sexty.
does the cover of your Sexed and Sexty have on it?
Mine has a guy on a farm being chased by a farmer, and he's got a watermelon on his dick.
He's fucking a
A
watermelon.
watermelon. He got caught.
I have a cover where the guy is like making out with this beautiful girl in a barn, and a goat is eating his ass. And then on the next one, it's a girl, and he's sitting there with flowers, like bringing them to his girl, and she's like sticking her tongue in his ear, and it's coming out the other end. And the guy's like, ooh. So these are raunchy covers, and what they are is they're sort of like X-rated cartoons when and jokes, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they're kind of like Playboy
Yeah, that's good.
cartoons.
That's a good way to put it. Playboy cartoons.
Jokes, yeah.
I had known these existed once, and I was very curious. So when I did see it, I was like, I'm gonna at least buy one, because it showed up on mycomicshop.com on Facebook for me one day.
All right.
I don't know. I must have been browsing some nasty comics, and it said, and the Facebook
You'll
algorithm
like
said,
this.
yeah, their little algorithm was working, and it says, you know what you'd like? You'd like this. So, yeah, I got those. I got a lot of cool stuff at that booth.
Yeah, that was so much fun going through those. Of course, like you said, we discovered that like at the last day, the last hour of the
Yeah.
show. All of a sudden, it was there.
We got to see Luke Foster, and we got to see our Micah and Claire. We I think we ate almost every meal with Micah and Claire.
We did.
We went to a
Always good to
barbecue
see them.
place, and Bill found a veggie burger to eat. You didn't have much choices at that place.
Not a lot of choices at the barbecue place. I
I
didn't
did
feel like a
find.
po' boy. I'm not a big fan of shrimp po' boys.
Well, I don't know why.
I
Shrimp
just
is
don't like
good.
them. I guess I could have got the shrimp tacos.
We ate
Very
at
small burger.
Brick's. We ate at the usual place. We ate at the Dish.
Yep, definitely ate at the dish. That's a great place.
We got to talk to the Zamundos, which Bill didn't meet because he didn't go last year.
I didn't
But
get
they
to
were
meet them
there.
last year. They're there with their friend from
Columbia.
back home.
Yeah, and he had done a bunch of art pages. He didn't speak really good English, so Carlos was translating for us, sort of.
Some of it, yeah.
But he had done like a bunch of sequential art to show people there, and there were nice pages, right? Of
Yeah,
X-Men,
they
Avengers, and
were.
stuff.
Yeah, I think if he, I don't think he's, I think he's more of a illustrator, like a traditional artist, because he had like some prints he was selling. But I think he's probably from knowing the Zamudos, he's trying to dip his toe in the comic world.
Yeah. I did pick up something from them too, 'cause I didn't pick it up before. Death Follows, with Cullen Bunn. They did. They both worked on it. AC Zamundo is the wife, and Carlos is the husband, and he colors, and I think he inks too, on some things, and AC draws. And they work a lot with Cullen Bunn and Brian Hurt, and that's why they're next to them.
Yeah, they do a lot of Columbine stuff.
Shadow Roads is what they're currently working on, which is a lot of fun if you're into Western horror. If you
It's a
like
follow-up to
Six Gun.
Yes, it's gone.
What else? I think that sort of sums up what we did.
Well, we hung out with Kirk Spencer.
Oh yeah, Kirk. Kirk is amazing. He gave me some artwork. We got to eat with him on Sunday at the Midnight Cafe, which we went to last year. That one's a deceiving walk. It seems to
That's
take forever to get there.
because it's uphill part of the
Well,
way.
it's
To get there.
uphill and it's across a highway where you almost feel like you're gonna get killed.
Yeah, you have to run across a
Yeah.
4-lane, 8-lane highway. Not really.
Well, there's you have to cross some on-ramps, and it made me nervous. to get onto
Yeah,
the
the on-ramp.
highway. Like, there's
There's a
ramps to
light
get
though. You
onto
got
the
a walk
highway.
signal.
It's true, but I don't know. I just don't feel as comfortable
You
walking
get
in
to
that
see
area.
some expensive rental townhomes.
Especially when I have plantar fasciitis and I could get hit by a car. It made me nervous.
That's true. You could fall down at any moment.
Kirk is amazing. He's so passionate. Like, he introduced me to the artist that did Z Girl, and we talked a lot at the Peepboy table. We met up with Kirk like throughout the whole weekend to talk to, and he essentially drags around a box of comics that he wants to get signed, along with an art. It's a huge art portfolio where he usually buys art, puts it in there, or gets things that he has
Yeah,
previously
bring stuff
signed.
for
Yeah.
creators to sign. Yeah, he's big into the signatures.
And one thing I will say is he has the passion we do, man. He get when I saw him looking through original art, like at the art table. He's seeing some like GI Combat and Sergeant Rock pages. It was like a kid in a candy store. Like, I mean, this guy's eyes are like lit up and he's like in heaven. And it just it strikes me when I know there's a fellow brother that this stuff means as much to him as it means to me. And yeah, it's just he loves comics, and I would love to go through his collection because I know
No, man.
it's utter chaos, and I know I would have a blast going through it because of the variety of things I would find in there. Like, it's a
Well,
huge
one of
variety of stuff he
the fun,
likes.
he told us the funny story of he was listening to our episode where we're going through the 90s comics and looking up the stuff online and discovering like the Anarchy Comics stuff. And he said while he was listening to it, he was sorting one of his comic boxes and he just happened to come across those titles because he
Yeah.
actually ordered like the special limited signed
Signed
edition
edition of
of
it.
the Anarchy Comics back in the day.
And how rare is that,
Oh
you
my
know?
God. Like Necromancer and
Yeah.
all that stuff. So awesome. See, he did what I always wanted to do, which is,
Send away for stuff.
yeah, well, I guess back then I never really paid attention to it, but now when I go through like those old comics and see like an ad in the back where you could like send away for stuff, I'm always like, damn it, why didn't I send away for this
Yeah,
stuff?
that's why when we were looking at the plasm, we were like, "Oh crap, he probably might have that."
Oh, the
If
back
any
cover,
if
yeah.
anybody sent away for the back cover of the card book, it would be Kirk. But yeah, it was a lot of fun meeting Kirk, and then plus, he brought stuff for me. Which means I gotta get those Batman things to him, which I better do today so I remember to pack it. But he had original commissions done of Atari Force, of He-Man and Skeletor, and of Sergeant Rock and Mademoiselle Marie. The Sergeant Rock and Mademoiselle Marie piece that he has, I absolutely love. But he made copies of them and gave me prints of them, and they're not just like cheap prints. Like, if you were to look at the Sergeant Rock Mademoiselle Marie piece, it looks like a real piece. It's on that thick
Yeah,
paper,
it's on a
that
nice thick
art
paper.
paper. The Atari Force is on like the gloss paper. It like he made awesome copies of these pieces, and they're awesome. So I really have to thank him for that. They were sweet. And he did get his Jack in the Box. He had his heart set. There's one thing you can love about Kirk. He loves his Jack in the Box and he loves his Chef Boyardee. Like, his Chef Boyardee spaghetti and meatballs, man. You give him that and he's a happy camper. So yeah, we had a
That's funny.
blast. It was fun stuff. And I met his friend, old at Old Ben on Twitter. His name is Dave and his son. I think he had eaten with Kirk a couple times, and I know Kirk, when he was leaving on Sunday, was going to his house, and they went shopping for comics the next day. It was so funny.
But he went, didn't he go shopping for comics the day before the con too?
Yeah, he did. He was at Second and Charles. And
Awesome.
God, I wish I could find old Ben's comment. I gotta see if I could find it, 'cause it's amazing. This is the kind of awesomeness that Kirk is. His name is David Collins. I wonder if I can go back to, 'cause he tweets a lot, if I can actually find. He got some amazing art. Wow, he got a Wayne Vassant piece. Fighter pilots, a World War One. No, those are World War Two planes. Oh God, is it this thread? Yeah, it's this thread. So David posted this thing, and it has Kirk, and it says, Kirk loves to comic shop. He spent 3 days at Heroes Con shopping for comics. And then it says there, the cashier literally had to call off for backup and ask for help when he went to go check out. Oh my God. I can't imagine all the stuff he picked up, because he's very diverse in like titles that he gets. Like, yes, he focuses on war comics. Like, that's his passion, but he's very diverse in like what he collects. There, it's all over the board. So yeah, I'd love to go through this box that I said, if next time I get stuck on an airplane or a layover, I want to go shopping with these guys. I would have a blast. I said they'd have to bring a forklift.
I'm very jealous that he got to hit up these random comic book stores.
And they have some obscure stuff. Like, I bought some more. I found a manga that I liked, Bill. Can you believe this?
I saw you post that. I was very
Okay,
surprised.
but I will say that it's not traditional manga. Eclipse adapted a lot of manga into our format. So it's not traditional in size. It's not read from back to front, left. The opposite direction.
Yeah,
It's
it's
like a
flipped.
regular comic book, and it was called The Legend of Kamui from Eclipse Comics. And I fell in love with the art. I fell in love with the way this thing was drawn. The story was very captivating that I actually ordered 10 issues. Can you believe that? On mycomicshop.com, because this was issue one. It's from Eclipse Comics International. I'm finding out I like Eclipse a lot. And it's from, I'm trying to find the year, 1987. And I found this story just so unique. It opens up with this guy who's doing bow hunting on a horse, and he's royalty. He's like a prince. And he's killing birds, he's killing deer. And everybody admires him. They say, "You were the best shot I've ever seen. Like, you could hit anything." And he says, "It's not all me, it's my horse." He says, "My horse moves with me. Every motion, we are like one. And if I'm not on my horse, I can't hit anything that I'd be hitting." Like, he is a bow hunter on a horse. And then one of his servants goes to go water the horse in the lake and bathe it, to clean it. And this horse is very unique. It has a leg that's normal and a leg that's pure white. And this guy's feeding the horse and watering the horse, and then some random dude that's just watching it shoots one of those darts into his ass, probably to kill the horse, and then goes to the horse and chops off that one hoof with the whiteness on it. And it never says why he does it. He just goes. So now this prince and all the guys are trying to kill this guy that killed his horse. And then there's this random teen guy, I guess that's Kamui, that sees this happen and sort of saves the that guy's life when he's being hunted. And then he just randomly gets on a boat, and then there's this huge storm, and he almost dies. So the main hero of the book almost dies in this issue because of this storm. And randomly, the guy that finds him is the guy that his life he stayed that stole the hoof. And you still don't know why he took the horse's life and the hoof, other than he might hate the prince. And this guy's like, he's almost dead. He takes him back to the hut, and he's like, he's freezing. How am I going to warm him? I can't warm him. He's trying to revive him. And there's one of these girls, I don't know if it's his daughter or his wife or whatever, but she just says, I know how to get him warm. She takes all of clothes off and just gets on top of him and heats him up and revives him. And I guess this girl Kamui had saved in a prior, she volunteered to get on him naked because Kamui had saved her life in a past life too. So I don't know this I don't know where the hell this thing is going, but it's so weird and so bizarre, and the art is amazing. It doesn't look like traditional manga in terms of like
Is it like the more like detail or the more
it's highly rendered. The
yeah,
only
this is more
thing
sketchy or
the only thing that you can
yeah, I
tell
know what you're
it's
talking
manga
about.
is the eyes. That's it. Like if the eyes were drew differently, you wouldn't even think it was manga. So I think it's that it's not as when you think manga, it's not that, but it's almost like some highly rendered art style that I really like. And maybe there is a lot of manga like that, and it's just the stuff that I've experienced is stuff that
Yeah, there is kind of the two styles. There's the well, there's more than two styles, but I remember like back when who was bringing over when they first started bringing over Japanese stuff, I think a lot of it was the less cartoony stuff
yeah.
that is more popular now.
But I think the stuff that they did bring over, that Eclipse brought over, that I would be willing to try, because it's traditional comic format, like the format's something that's inviting to me. And it's read in the order that I like to read it. So like my brain isn't trying to compensate for being Americanized to read the way I like to read from front to back. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
Cool. Where'd you get that from?
I picked that up at a dollar box at my comic shop. He's been putting stuff in this dollar box,
No, I mean, where'd you pick up that first issue?
in that dollar box at my comic shop.
Oh, just randomly?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had no more, just that first issue.
Yeah.
I saw Eclipse and I just said, screw it, I want to pick it up.
Okay. Interesting.
There's another one I picked up. Absolutely amazing, but I don't know if I could find it. It's issue two. There's only four issues in this series because I have to go order it. Issue two of New York Year Zero from Eclipse Comics.
I saw you post that.
Did you see the cover? Good
Yeah.
Lord. It's from August of 1988, and it's a post-apocalyptic world, but get this. This is only a few years in the future from 1988. They went to 2015. But
Ooh.
it makes it really interesting because it's a story of this guy. In the future, it's like the police don't really care. Like if they have a sharpshooter that's a terrorist and he's like up at the top and he's like picking off people, the police will just get a rocket launcher and just blow the fucker up. Like they don't care about like, oh, there's a building on the side here and there's a building underneath and we'll kill innocents. They don't care. They'll just make it happen. But there's this one guy. It intrigued me on what this was about because he's just in this world. He comes from Venus. And I didn't know this until I had to go do some research because I was caught in the middle of the story. And now he's on Earth. And there's these beautiful women that he sees at a bar. And he's like, well, those goddamn lesbians. Why are they following me? There's three women that are following him. And he's like, I have no weapons. I better get moving. Well, it turns out they want his bulletproof vest, but they chase him all around town. And he gets into these things called the coffins, and they're automatic bedrooms, and they are small ass fucking things. It's like if you were to go to sleep in an MRI machine, that's what these things are called. You basically spend like 50 cents or whatever it is at the cost, and you go into this coffin and you can't get out. And the
Yeah,
weird
you're doing
thing
a little
is,
tube.
yeah, the weird thing is about this coffin is he gets in and he's like, okay, I'm gonna be in here in 24 hours. He doesn't think, well, maybe these women will wait for me in 24 hours. I don't know. He just gets in it and says, I'll just gonna go to sleep for 24 hours. But as this is going on, the coffin next to him is rat infested and they're eating the fucker next to him. So it almost makes you think that, oh, he got into this coffin and he's getting killed. But it's the guy next to him that's getting killed. He's getting eaten by rats. So he wakes up the next day and there's a policeman out there saying, okay, show me your credentials and okay, you check out, you can go on. And he gets out there and he buys a gun, like an old gun, and it doesn't tell you why he's buying the gun. He just buys a gun and he sees this beautiful woman, and you ought to see the art in here, Bill. Absolutely gorgeous. It's black and white. It's by a guy named Juan Zanotto. And
That name is familiar.
oh God, his art is you would be blown away if you look at the art, especially the way he draws women. They are gorgeous. Well, he sees like this terrorist trying to kill this beautiful woman that's being guarded by a bunch of policemen, and he saves her life. And then now they're in a story together. And I don't know what to expect, but I ordered the rest of this. I thought it was amazing. Another find in that dollar bin, from Eclipse Comics. So like, and I'm seeing ads for other shit in these things that make me real interested. Comics have always been good, but I guess I didn't realize how some of these independent publishers in the 90s were really breaking new ground. Like, they're just as good as Image today. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that there were great stories being published
Yeah.
all along. Trick is finding them. It's a
I've
lot
been
of
finding a
garbage
lot
too.
of them. I just can't find this stuff. It's hard to complete, but easy to find. Is that a good way to explain? You can easily find like random issues out there, but it's harder to complete
Oh,
because
that's what
there are
the
not a
internet is
lot out
for.
there. Yeah. And then, of course, I read an American Mythology Zorro, and God, I just. I, Bill, that stuff is just fucking amazing.
I know you are a fan.
I just turned the page and it's a wordy bitch too. It's by Mike Wolfer, and I'm becoming a huge fan of Mike Wolfer. I thought he wrote sort of like things like Ragdoll and like bad girl stuff, and he did. But he's very diverse because he could write an issue of Casper or any of their other properties, and he can write Zorro. And I just he wrote that vampire one, Eternal Thirst of Dracula, that I absolutely adored, which was the Ed Wood meets Dracula type thing. I'm loving his stuff. And this Zorro was amazing because it gives you the usual story, but the church is so corrupt and they're using the people to the point where they're all slaves. They're either slaves in the mind and they're gonna die, or they're slaves in the household and they're being abused. Like the one girl slave is they send up to his room because you gotta remember the guy that's Diego is a huge he's rich. He's a rich man. He comes from Alejandro Diego. He owned, you know, there he's like Bruce Wayne. He's got a lot of money. So he's treated like a rich guy. But what he acts like is like Christopher Reeve Superman, like ridiculous. Like so nobody could put two and two together and say that's Zorro. And he acts arrogant and he acts like an asshole. So you think you really buy into the fact that he's an asshole, but he sees the mining situation and he sees these people being enslaved and he's like, I gotta bust this shit up. And then he gets home and he acts like an asshole again, obviously to the monks that are there. And they send up a woman to his room and she basically drops her top. She drops her top and it's like, let's have sex. And she doesn't want to do it willingly. She was sent up there by the monks and the priests to have sex with Diego, Don Diego. And he says, screw this shit. He said, it's one thing if you, he said, Zorro's suave. That's one thing I like about him. He is so suave. He just, the words just like roll off his tongue and he's very romantic and he says, if you were to come on to me because I'm very good looking and do that, we would be in the bed right now. But he says, I know you're not doing that. Who sent you here? And now he's gonna go kick ass. He's gonna go kick ass and take names. And I'm like, I fucking just love this shit. I can't believe this is like the Bonnie and Clyde shit. I went down such a Zorro rabbit hole and this is just I'm just eating it up. I just hope it keeps coming. Sacrilege. It's called Zorro Sacrilege number one.
And that was a new one of their new ones.
Yeah. Really good art too. Oh man, and there's a in the new previews there's another Eternal Thirst of Dracula. Finally, I didn't think it was gonna finish. And now they're gonna continue it, so really happy. I read a lot of good shit, a lot of it.
Trying to see if I have anything else that this and that.
Oh, you know what? One thing I did finish, I finished my first TKO comic book. I read Sarah.
Yes.
And I don't want to spoil it, but it is sort of a comic book about a female sniper, and they train a lot of the Russians train a lot of their females to be snipers, and they live with a bunch of men that are fighters. Kind of like they're Marines or something, like first off, but they train their women to be like sharpshooters because they don't want them to be on the front line, sort of thing, you know? They want them to be in the trees just taking out people. And that's sort of what Sarah is. And they do play around with that. Like Garth Ennis has, I know he's wrote another comic book that I've read where they would train the dogs to put bombs on their backs and go underneath the tanks and just blow up. That really exists. I did a lot of research on that because when I read his other comic book, I was curious to see if that really happened. And it did. But this sniper story is really good. It's really the art is absolutely beautiful. I think I'm still gonna like it the least of the four, though. Because it's sort of straightforward. I've seen a movie that was very similar to this in World War One. I can't remember what it was called, but it was about a male sharpshooter fighting a German sharpshooter. And this was very similar to that type of story. So I did take another book with me, but I didn't have time to read it. So I would like to finish these TKO ones.
I didn't bring any with me because I knew I needed the room for bringing stuff back.
Yeah.
But I did end up watching The Highwaymen on the way back,
Oh
on
my
the trip back,
God.
because of your recommendations.
Did you like it?
Was awesome. That was a fantastic
God, I love that movie. I can't
job they're
believe how
doing there.
engrossed I got into it. Like it's such a simple movie. It's about a bunch of guys hunting down Bonnie and Clyde, but it's amazing in its simplicity, and it's very powerful in the scenes that do have action, which is very, it's like the climax of the movie. And I God, I just that's why I got the commission I did, Bill. I talked to you a lot about the Highwaymen, so I hope I didn't like I what I was worried about was that you said you might watch it on the plane back because you're gonna download it.
I
And
downloaded it.
what I was worried about is that I would overhype it because you know how excited I get and shit. Like I was like da 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 da, and then I did this, and then I like even showed you I think on like Sunday night. I said you got to see this scene. Look how powerful it is. And I didn't at that time I didn't know you're gonna watch it, but I was like, God, I hope I didn't like overdo it, you know? Because I was pumped. I loved it.
Yeah, there's always a danger in hyping something too much, but no, it definitely lived up to the hype you gave it. It was really well done. I mean, you pretty much know going in that a movie, if they got actors of that caliber, of the caliber of Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson, that it was probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But they were both excellent in it. They were fantastic.
I just God, I loved it. I loved Woody
And
Harrelson. Like I thought he like stood out like big time. I love how they manipulated, was it in Tennessee or wherever they got caught? I can't remember where it was, but how he went to that one cop and he tried to weed out like are these guys 'cause there were towns where people would flock to
oh, they're
Bonnie and
trying to
Clyde.
figure out who's
Yeah,
corrupt.
and they were trying to figure out, well, are these cops that are going to side with Bonnie and Clyde or are they going to help us out? And he basically pretended
Right,
to
because
be a
they had
family
moles
member.
everywhere.
Yeah, he goes in there pretending to be a family member, and these guys from Tennessee are like, "You motherfucker!" They like pull guns on him and said, "We're not bad cops. We're not corrupt. And they're killing cops, you know." And it's like, I was just testing you. He puts out his marshal badge out and he says, "We're just testing you."
Yeah, so the cool thing about it, I don't know if he said, so this is on Netflix. It was a Netflix original, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it tells about the highwayman hunting Bonnie and Clyde, but it's interesting in that it's told entirely from the perspective of the highwaymen, and you really don't really see Bonnie and Clyde throughout most of the movie, just the little bits of them here and
But
there.
you never see their faces until the end.
Until the very end.
In other words, you see them like there's the one scene where they find them, they're getting medicine or whatever, and the Woody Harrelson says, "Oh shit, they're there,"
Yeah,
and
they see him in the crowd.
like clamored by the crowd because the crowd is they're like heroes. This is the time of the Depression and people look up to them for robbing banks, and you don't ever see their faces until the end of the movie, and it's a shock scene. Because it's when they ambush them, and you only get to see their expressions when they're like, "Oh fuck," they're
They'd
like,
realize it's the end.
they realize they're dead. I mean, they look at each other and say, "This is it. Like, you know, we're gonna die."
Yeah, they got us.
And it made me do so much research because I wanted to know about her limp. You know what I mean? Because they like, when they're investigating, they always say she walks like this because she was burned really bad in her leg and they have to get pharmaceuticals for her pain. That was legit. That really happened. They just don't know how she burned it. Like, if she burned it in the car because there was a fire, or if she got burned by battery acid, like from the car
Yeah, it was
battery.
in a car accident,
Yeah. It's, God, it was amazing.
right? It
Oh,
was
it's
really
so
good.
good.
And the other interesting thing, and I don't know how much this might be where they use some dramatic license, but the characters of both of the Woody Harrelson character and the Kevin Costner character were both very, they both of those characters had a lot of background stuff going on in their lives, so it was really interesting to see the dynamic between them, and then them dealing with the ghosts of their past, kind of,
Yeah.
and
They
their
don't.
demon, personal demons.
Right, because their personal demons is they know they've killed innocents. Like, they were heroes because they slaughtered a lot of people that were bad, but they killed a
Right.
lot of innocent people,
Yeah,
including
in the
children.
process,
And
right.
they deal with the sins of their past. Like, there's a scene there where a press agent's like, "Okay, we're gonna offer you $100 to come on and talk to somebody from the Boston Globe or something like that." I can't remember who it was from,
It was
and
like
it
$1,000
was like $1,000,
back
and
then.
that's a lot of money back then. This is the time of the
Yeah,
Depression,
it's probably $10,000 or
and it's like in the
$20,000.
movie, they balk at it. They're like, "Shame," Woody Harrelson just tells that guy, "Shame on you." And they just
Shame
walk away. Shame on you.
on you.
And it's also amazing how they towed the car. Like, that's historical. There were people trying to get pieces of their body parts off of Bonnie and Clyde because of who they represented to
Yeah,
sell
because they're
them.
so famous.
They were so famous.
Well, that was good. And at the end of the movie, they show like actual clips, like
Yeah.
from the newspaper or pictures from the newspaper of the car and stuff. Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
Well, I got another one for you that I watched on the plane back.
I don't remember what you downloaded.
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, the Coen Brothers
Oh,
Western.
the
This is the darkest Western anthology I have ever experienced in my entire life.
Wow.
It is so dark. Each story is so damn depressing. This movie is remarkable. It's another movie that I could talk about for days because these stories are just, they're so good and so weird. It's like weird Western war stories. They're so bizarre and off the cuff that I don't even want to tell you any of them because they're so weird and you need to experience it. Like, you need to see what this is that makes this
Right.
movie magical. You could either hate this movie. Like, I think you're going to be polar on this movie because of its tone. There's no, this is like the world of the derelict in Western, but it's not that perverted and dark. It's just in tone, it's like there's no sunshine. There's no light at the end of the
There's
tunnel.
no
There,
goodness.
there's no goodness in this world. The lightest story is the first one, and they like work their way up to dark, dark, dark. I just like, even the first story is sort of weird and depressing in its own way, but
So if the first story is too much for you, don't bother watching the
yeah.
rest.
Especially if you get to the Leslie Nielsen one, like that one is really dark. It is about a freak show guy that travels around town with this kid that is basically a torso and a head. But he quotes a lot of novels and the Constitution and stuff, and he draws crowds, and then all of a sudden he doesn't. But it is, yeah, the Ballad of Buster. This is a Netflix original too, Buster Scruggs, I think it is.
I'll have to check that one out.
And guess what else I watched on the way back? Because I had so much layover and flight. I watched Z Nation, the first episode, and I liked it.
Oh, do you? Yeah, I was
Yeah.
wondering about that. I
I
figured.
thought it was gonna be like I could see where people say it got a little it gets a little campy, but it had some legit actors. Like it had the actor from Lost that plays Michael. It's got the creepiest baby zombie scene I think I've ever seen in fucking comedy. It is almost like the remake of what was it? Dawn of the Dead, when the woman had the baby. But it has some crazy things in it. It also has there's a movie that I absolutely adore, and I don't know if you've seen this movie, but it's a dark black comedy, and it's called Comic Book Villains. And one of the guys that was in that movie is in Z Nation. But Comic Book Villains is an amazing. I own it on DVD because I just thought it was amazing. I'll tell you the synopsis of Comic Book Villains. It's about a guy who dies, and he has an immaculate collection. And there's two car comic store rivalries trying to get this collection from the mother because it is so valuable, and he just died. And it's a rivalry between these two owners that leads to a very dark place. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, I think I have that on DVD.
Yeah, Deluge is in it, or what's his name? He's the guy that plays Commissioner Gordon in Gotham. DeLonge, I can't remember his name. I got it right here. It is Donald Luge.
Oh, Donald Logue.
Yeah, Logue.
Donald Logue.
Cary Elwes is in
Don't
this one. Michael Rapport is in it.
know. Before, yeah, I think I've seen it. I know I have it.
I need to watch it again. I love this movie. I love it because it's everything that I fear, and dying in my collection, just being I don't
People fighting over your collection.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just an amazing movie. But that guy's in Z Nation too. He's like the calm guy for the military that are trying to, they developed a serum that has some kind of effect to help them. Like they're testing it on this one subject, and they're trying to get the subject that they had success with over to a certain location, and he's the calm guy trying to make it all happen. And that's all I watched. We didn't go to any movies or anything. We were supposed to go today, yesterday, but we had to take Harley to the vet because she had her allergies have been acting really bad. Because dogs have an extra eyelid, and one of her eyelids that was coming from the bottom was getting stuck, and it looked really gross. They call it cherry eye, but they usually call it cherry eye because it's red. In her case, it's like pure white, and it looked weird. But she seems to be better now.
Well, that's good.
Anything else you want to mention?
Trying to think if I did watch a couple of movies. Nothing really to other interesting, I guess. I watched one called Unsane.
Unsane.
Yeah,
Is this a
which is
Netflix
about
one?
it. It was on DVD. It was, I got it from the library. It was about a woman who she goes so she goes to her She's in a new town, and you find out that she moved to this town because she was being stalked by this dude in her old town. And she had to get like a restraining order, and finally she ended up just moving because she couldn't deal with them anymore. And she goes to see a therapist, And when she's in there, the therapist asks if she's ever considered killing herself, like ever thought about suicide. And she says, yeah, I haven't, but not for, I haven't in a while. And they end up committing her for 24 hours because based saying that she was, you know, a threat to herself or others. So they're holding her and she doesn't know what's going on the whole time. And they make her sign a bunch of forms. And then she's getting checked in and she's like, wait, what's going on? And they're like, well, we're checking you in for the night. And she's like, no, I just came to talk to my, you know, just to have a therapy session. I have to go to work tomorrow and all this stuff. And they're like, well, you signed the papers that say we could keep you. So she ends up getting admitted to this hospital, and then she gets into a fight and ends up staying for 7 days because I guess they can keep you for 7 days without a court order. And you find out that this is kind of like a scam that these places run where they want to keep, like, they basically get paid by the insurance companies for keeping people. So they check people in against their will, basically, and keep them for as long as they can. And then as she's there, kind of things start getting worse for her the longer she's there. So it was interesting.
Sounds it.
Then I watched another one. What was the other one called? It was let me think. Watched that one. I don't remember what the heck it was. It's insane. Oh, it was Strangers. Is that what it's called? The Strangers.
Is that an older one?
I don't think it was that old. It's called the Strangers. Pray at Night, I think it was called.
I've never heard of this one. Strangers Pray. Yeah, The Strangers Pray at Night. Oh, The Strangers is a...
Yeah, it's 2018.
Was there a movie called The Strangers and this is the sequel?
I don't know if this is a... It certainly sounds like it might be like but The Strangers is just maybe it's just too generic a name. Like, there's a 2008 The Strangers. I don't know if it's related. I think it might be.
I saw the previews of this. The Strangers.
Yeah, this might
be. Oh yeah, this is a sequel. A follow up.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a sequel to the... Now I need to watch The Strangers.
I saw The Strangers. That's why it sounded familiar. That's why I said, is it an older one? Because I saw The Strangers.
The original Strangers. I think I've streamed that one, too.
It is a pretty frightening concept in that you're just hanging out and these stupid teenagers or whatever they are put masks on and decide to do violent...
Kill people.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah, so this one, the sequel is about this family are taking their daughter to boarding school because she has basically dropped out or got kicked out of her high school. And on the way there, they stop. So they're driving cross country to the boarding school to drop her off, and they stop partway to visit the wife's uncle and aunt who own this almost like a trailer park. But the houses are separate. They're like rental trailers, but they're separated. It's not like a trailer park where they're all next to each other. They're more separated out. And they get there, and then that first night when they're there, like this girl like knocks on the door asking for Tamara. She's like, is Tamara home? And they're like, no. And then she goes away. And then she comes back later and doing the same thing. And they're like, that's weird. So, and then I don't remember what the next part is, but basically they go to see the uncle and aunt because they were out, and they go to try to find them, and they find that they're dead. They find their corpses in the bedroom, and then, you know, all shit hits the fan, and
Yeah.
that's when they start seeing the people with the masks like out on the street and stuff. And it's good. I liked it because it's kind of like a, people breaking into the house type movie, but it takes place mostly outdoors and in these like trailers. So
Yeah, I want to see this one.
it gave it a more open feel.
I almost went to the theater to see it. Things just didn't work out.
Yeah, it was good though. It was a good, very action-packed.
Nice.
I imagine it's pretty similar to the first one. But yeah, it's a concept that they could just keep doing because basically they're standalone tales, you know?
Yeah, it's just like the, what do you call it? That other franchise, that election night or whatever they call it, the one night where they can go out and kill
Oh, the
everybody.
Purge.
Yeah,
Yeah,
the
Purge.
Purge.
Yeah.
They're all the same in the Purge, but I enjoy watching the Purges. I like Purge movies.
I didn't like the first one, and I never watched one of the follow-ups.
The first one's nothing like the rest. The rest deal with like the world. The first one's more like a family's reaction to what is happening in the
The
world.
first one is just a home break-in, basically,
Yeah, but
movie.
that's what I'm saying. The rest of them are more about like
Yeah,
that
the greater
night and what the
world.
greater world, the world picture, the politics behind it,
Yeah, that's what I want to see.
what's actually happening. The first one is more focused on, okay, that's this is what the Purge is, and this is we're zooming in on one specific family that's being attacked.
Right. Yeah, that's
So
why.
I think the Purges are all good movies, but they're I will say that if you didn't like the first one for the reasons that you did, that you should try the others because it's more like an apocalyptic type.
Yeah, I think the other ones are more what I was looking for in the
Yeah.
first one. Because I felt like the first one, you're focusing on this family, but I know all this crazy shit's going on outside the house. I want to see what that
Yeah.
stuff.
And that's where all the other purges come in, 'cause it's
Yeah.
like you
It's like
see.
there's. Because you're keeping me in this little house. Meanwhile, there's people out on the street with baseball bats beating each other
Yeah,
up.
and it just gets batshit crazy. I mean, it gets it's hor it's crazy.
I wanted them to open a window so I could see what was going on outside the house.
There's only one that I haven't seen, and I can't remember which one it is, but it stars the guy from Friday Night Lights, the quarterback. And I didn't get to see it because we recorded it, like DVR'd it, and then it like the DVR didn't
Oh,
record
it erased.
mess it messed up, and I never saw it again. I only
Yeah.
saw the first half. I got really into the movie, and then all of a sudden it was not there.
Got erased, huh?
Yeah. So what else do you want to wind this one down?
Yeah, we could do that.
Good time, Bill. I had a good time. I'm really glad. The Heroes isn't the same when you're not there. And
That is true. It's not the same for me when I'm not there
yeah,
either.
I just I was glad that I was surprised and glad that you made it because it was kind of you weren't really planning on it, I didn't think, until we were closer to the date.
Yeah, it was a close call for me this year. And I'm
Yeah.
always glad because every time I go, I have such a good time. And I'm like, why do I ever miss this?
Yeah,
Such a fun
it's
show.
amazing. And I hope you enjoyed this wrap up of Heroes Con. We talked a lot about the comics that we bought there and the panels and the various things that we did. It is a I think to this day it's the best comic con. And what I mean about is comic book convention. If you throw out all the Hollywood and the acting thing, this is the con to go to.
And the wrestlers.
Yeah, you throw out the wrestlers and celebrities and
there's no celebrities, there's no autograph sessions, there's no photo sessions.
yeah.
It's just comic books. But they do have a lot of interesting comic creators, especially older creators, and a lot of interesting panels with them.
Yeah.
So if you love comics,
There was a
it's
couple on
great.
Sunday that I saw that I regret not stopping to because there was, I can't remember exactly who, but I always get a really good time of talking to Golden Age creators, and there was one or two there that I really should have stopped at their table.
And I also say that Stan and Sergio had huge lines the whole weekend,
Huge lines.
but they had it organized well where those lines didn't interfere with anything.
Yeah.
It was right up at the front,
The
so.
Tula Lute line was more hectic because they kept moving me around. There was
Oh, they couldn't
always
figure out where to put the line.
there was one girl saying move here and then move there and like
Yeah, I don't know. They must not have anticipated the line for her
yeah.
table.
All right.
Good time, though. Good time.
Well, you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com, Mike or Bill at comicbooknoise.com. At DBM00 is Twitter for Bill. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. And on Facebook, Geek Brunch Podcast, click the like thread and you can follow all the episode threads there. If you ever have comments or questions, you could send us to Twitter. It's probably the best place that we'll get a hold of you. And we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
All
All
right.
right. Have a good one, Bill.
Thanks for listening.
Bye
And you
bye.
too, my friend.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye-bye.